or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution System is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President George W. Bush, trying to dispel rising doubts about the war, said last night the United States would stay in Iraq until it was free and democratic, and suggested more soldiers might have to be sent. He promised to demolish the Abu Ghraib prison that has become an ugly symbol of the U.S. occupation. History is moving, and it will tend toward hope or tend toward tragedy, Bush said in a primetime speech prepared for delivery at the U.S. Army War College last night. Bush used the speech to confront rising skepticism from the voters, U.S. lawmakers, and other nations' leaders that the United States has a clear vision for the future in Iraq. Here's a five-step program he outlined.
We will hand over authority to a sovereign Iraqi government, help establish security, continue rebuilding Iraq's infrastructure, encourage more international support, and move toward a national election that will bring forward new leaders empowered by the Iraqi people.
President Bush, as he addressed the gathering of the U.S. Army War College last night, envisioning a hopeful path amid rising body counts, he hoped to demonstrate momentum toward the shift of political power to Iraqis in 5 weeks and the U.S. effort to draw more countries to combat insurgents and rebuild the country. Reaction abounds. Japan and Australia have backed Washington's latest moves to Iraq, with Australia's prime minister saying his country's 2,000 troops will stay there. Meantime, Japanese and South Korean media panned President Bush's speech as damage control following the prisoner abuse scandal. In a related development, the U.S.-British draft resolution on post-occupation Iraq needs improvement, the French foreign minister said today, adding France hopes to have a voice in the new phase of talks over Iraqi sovereignty. Foreign Minister Michel Barnier spoke to reporters briefly after setting out a proposal to endure the future Iraqi government as representative and as a result credible. French proposal calls for roundtable discussions between the main players in Iraq before the U.N. vote on the resolution. In other news, the Army general who was in charge of the U.S. prison guards accused of abusing Iraqis has been suspended from command of the 800th Military Police Brigade, according to officials today. Brigadier General Janice Karpinski and other officers in her brigade were faulted by Army investigators for paying too little attention to the prison's day-to-day operations and not acting strongly enough to discipline soldiers under her command for violating standard procedures. Karpinski's suspension, which has not been announced by the Army, was the latest in a series of actions against officers and enlisted soldiers implicated in the abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib prison near Baghdad. And parts of one of the most sacred shrines of Shia Islam suffered damage during clashes Tuesday today between U.S. forces and radical Shiite Muslim militiamen. After the fighting eased, people gathered at the Iman Ali Shrine to look at the damage, the inner gate of the shrine leading into the bomb area.
You need to buy or sell your home, but where do you start?
Sorry to interrupt, but the place to start is LendingTree.com. You can search home listings, have real estate agents compete for your business, and bankers compete for your mortgage. You can even get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot when you close with an agent certified by LendingTree. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. LendingTree, Inc. is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Mom!
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I just wanted to complain about a comment you made yesterday.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
When the General Chief of Staff of the Army said we needed more than 100,000 troops over there, he was right. They made him retire early because that was not the answer that they needed.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
They're brainwashed by the right-wing media that says that Kerry can't protect the country.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Tuesday morning. Good morning. We've got the liberal agenda and presidential palm pilot coming up this hour. Plus, what should you know if you've got a Walmart in your town? Right now, I am joined by Mark Riley and Stu Ellicott.
Good
my
morning.
Comrades.
Good morning.
My compatriots, my fellow Americans, our doofus in chief spoke last night, kinda. He did sort of a soft sell, though, didn't he? He didn't really hit it. He didn't really make it, did he?
Well, he was vague, which I think everybody expected him to be.
You know, but the one thing he did admit was, if I could quote some of the stuff he said, we suspect that the man with the knife and who killed Nick Berg was an Al-Qaeda associate named Zarqawi. He and other terrorists know that Iraq is now the central front in the war on terror. America has created the central front in the war on terror. Now, that's American ingenuity and can-do spirit. You know, it was a pretty spread-out thing before. You know, there was cells here and cells there, and there was some in Afghanistan and some in Pakistan and some in the Philippines. But now they've got a place where they can all go and unite and be organized in the chaos of Iraq. We now have a new, you know, Cold War-type entity, an enemy that will persist for as long as they have a place to persist, and George Bush has created that. He's created a terrorist manufacturing plant that will now be forever the new front by which we judge ourselves against within the terms of war. Like, you know, we had the Cold War, mm-hmm. right? And that was pretty defined. You know, it's like, you got missiles, we got missiles. Let's try and balance it out. We're not going to trust you. You're not going to trust us. This is the way this works. There are lines of territory. There are lines of nations. This is how this works. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's this new weird thing. You know, I mean, I think they wanted to figure out a new enemy, because if we have an enemy, then America or this type of administration feels like they now have, you know, a mission. But China didn't step up. You know, Korea didn't step up.
The Chinese are busy doing something else.
Yeah, that's going to be in 50 years, the Great War on Piracy.
That's going to be.
We're going to end the world over, you know, fake DVDs and computer parts. But now this nebulous kind of war on terror is no longer nebulous. They now have an operating place. They now have a headquarters. They now have a place that will attract other terrorists. And it's because of George Bush's administration and the amazing American ingenuity in designing this. I'm starting to think that the whole agenda was really to create this chaos so the terrorists could exist there, and we would have a focused place to say, well, that's where the terror war is. It's right there. Wasn't there before. They could have killed this guy three times, Riley. Zarqawi, they could have killed him three times.
Oh, they could have had Zarqawi a long time ago. But, I mean, it's getting to the point now that not a day goes by when something new either is happening to Americans or is laid at the feet of the Americans, whether it's attacking a wedding in western Iraq, whether it's now, perhaps
a terrorist wedding.
A terrorist wedding. Yes, you're right. I forgot my Kemet.
Yeah.
There. Now, you know, now we've got one of the most sacred shrines in Najaf apparently suffered damage. And the Shia are laying that damage at the feet of the Americans, saying that it was an American mortar that damaged the this particular.
But wait, front. Mark, I thought we didn't strike holy sites.
Not on purpose.
Only if people have weapons inside and are shooting from them.
Right.
Remember that
okay.
minaret that they hit the other week?
Right.
They said that they'd been fired on from the minaret. But you're right, Mark, about, you know, everything level that they at the Americans. We didn't mention this yesterday, but there was a report, a very strongly worded report out of the newspapers in Britain of the family who of a scientist who was held by U.S. troops in the search for weapons of mass destruction who died in custody.
And there was a
post-mortem that showed he had died, that, you know, the daughter... the scientist was called Mohammed Munim al-Ismerli. The daughter said her father died from a blow to the back of the head and that they offered no proof that he did something wrong. He was refused a lawyer and then he was killed. Why? And the quote that kind of ran across the headline across the Guardian newspaper was, "I will always hate you people." I mean, this is such a strong level of kind of anti-Americanism coming out from not, you know, from people with stories to tell. I mean, narratives, clear stories that are being reported.
They used to just hate us because we were Americans. Now they actually have reasons on an individual level.
There are specific, dramatic, you know, heart-wrenching stories on which, you know, people are basing their hate.
I just can't believe the admission that George Bush admitted this, you know, thinking that people weren't going to put facts together. Where did that take place, Sue? Did that take place in one of the prisons?
I think it was one of the prisons. Yes, he was detained. I'm not sure if it was Abu
Ghraib. So he was probably picked up in one of those sweeps,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, you know, held like everyone
else.
90%
of the people didn't do anything in the first place.
Yeah, you know, and probably said, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a professor. And someone said, shut up, bonk.
You know who I thought you were talking about? So I thought you were talking about the guy who they said died of natural causes, and it turned out he had died of chest compression and five different types of...
Natural causes. He bludgeoned himself to death.
Yeah. I mean, that confusion just says it all, doesn't it? The fact that we've got one story that sounds like another story that sounds like another story just tells us these are not isolated cases.
Well, speaking of stories, he does have a plan. It may not be specific. It didn't name any names. But President Bush told the American people last night his 5-point plan would bring both self-rule and stability to Iraq.
Did he explain that plan?
No. Well, he tried. He spoke for 33 minutes at the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, but not exactly friendly turf, ironically enough. The president said the U.S. never intended to be an occupying power and plans to hand over power to an interim government on schedule June 30th. His details, however, were all pre-existing policy with nothing new except an announcement about the infamous Abu Ghraib prison.
A new Iraq will also need a humane, well-supervised prison system. Under the dictator, prisons like Abu Ghraib were symbols of death and torture. That same prison became a symbol of disgraceful conduct by a few American troops who dishonored our country and disregarded our values. America will fund the construction of a modern maximum security prison. When that prison is completed, detainees at Abu Ghraib will be relocated. Then, with the approval of the Iraqi government, we will demolish the Abu Ghraib prison as a fitting symbol of Iraq's new beginning.
Who was that, Forrest Garub?
I don't know. That was three different pronunciations of the same prison. But
did he say Abu Ghraib?
That's Garub. What I said, like Forrest Garump.
Yeah. I know, but did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
He sounded like that.
He did.
Poor guy probably worked on that for hours.
But see, now, here's the thing. This is something that his people have been working on since last Thursday. And the only new policy position was destroying this prison.
Right, which everybody said they should have done a while ago. This is so much backpedaling.
Well, it's not even backpedaling in the sense that, you know, they're destroying it because it is now a symbol of American disgrace. I mean, they didn't, you know, assess it as anything other than a facility before. This was a facility they could use to do their dirty business, and now that it has become a symbol of American disgrace because, not of the behavior of a isolated group, this is a complete disregard for international law and American law, you know, and it became became a disgrace and represented a systemic problem. So now I think this is just sort of a symbolic move, not to placate Iraqis, but to erase it from the mind of the American people.
Well, they did renovate it after they invaded Iraq. But
it was a facility.
I have a question of how long it's going to take. He said that the demolition will only occur after the U.S. has built another maximum security prison to replace it with the approval of a new Iraqi government. So first of all, we've got to establish the new Iraqi government, then you've got to get approval for it, then you've got to build it, and only then can you demolish Abu Ghraib. So this is so it's a symbol, but it's going to take absolutely months.
So there's also the issue of negotiating a contract with an American prison company, say a wagon hut, yeah, or somebody. Some private contractor, and get a little competition going and see who's going to kick in a little money into the campaign till. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that need to happen for that to
more
take
tax-free
place.
Employment for Americans.
But the most important thing, yeah, exactly. The most important thing is there's no more cameras.
Oh yeah,
allowed.
That is, yeah, the digital digital phone cameras. Now at the same time, the United States, of course, went to the United Nations hand in hand, as Sue mentioned yesterday, to ask for its endorsement of the plan for an interim Iraqi government. And the president, during his speech, and you know his administration, the diplomats at the UN are trying to convince people that the U.S. force that'll be there after June 30th will no longer be an occupying force, and that this interim government, which is going to be named by Brahimi, is not going to be a U.S. puppet government.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how they're going to do this, but then I don't know how they're going to implement the 5-point plan either. But this is, I think, the nexus of the problem that Bush really faces, and he's facing it after all of this speech, you know, the speech that he gave last night. How do you convince skeptical people, both here and in Iraq, that you are going to actually transfer that power and that the Iraqis will actually be able to say, well, hey, we want you guys to go, and you're going to leave?
I'll tell you how they do it. Repetition and management of the press.
Yeah.
If you just keep saying it over and over that it's going to happen, and you limit the press's, you know, ability to report properly within that. I mean, there's no way it's not going to be a puppet government. Of course it's going to be a puppet government. You know what I mean? And it's like, what is sovereignty? Is that how you pronounce it?
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. I keep screwing words up. Someone wrote me.
Yeah, it rhymes with virginity.
Yeah. Sovereignty. I mean, how do you guarantee sovereignty if there's going to be 138,000 troops there? How do you guarantee sovereignty when John Negroponte, a war criminal who oversaw Honduran death squads, mm-hmm, is going to be the ambassador of the largest embassy?
Oh, you got a nugget about him, right? About Negroponte.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is like, there's no way it's going to be sovereignty, because he's going to oversee 3,000 people within his embassy, CIA operatives, Pentagon operatives, you know, and there's going to be this, you know, I guess it'll be sovereignty unless something bad happens, and he'll sort of like, send out little black ops, you know, little squads to do what needs to be done to make sure he's managing all the tribal issues around the country. So, I mean, there's no way it's going to be sovereignty.
Well, the security at that place is going to have to be phenomenal. When you look at the fact that there was car bombs outside the security checkpoint to go into the coalition's green zone, the supposed safe zone yesterday and last week, can you imagine what kind of security they're going to have to get together for the U.S. embassy?
Right. Well, here's the thing. I know what you're referring to, Mark, is that Negroponte, mm-hmm, was assigned the embassy post on April 19th, and on April 20th, the Honduran contingent pulled out of the coalition in Iraq. But that was never publicized in this country or anywhere else that I know of, outside of a conspiratorial website and maybe a couple other alternative news outlets. That was never documented as an act of protest for Negroponte's involvement in the Iran-Contra affair, which clearly it was.
So it wasn't recognition of his good work in the Iran-Contra.
That's for sure. Honduras is like, you know, we're leaving, and Bush never addressed it other than, you know, the terrorists are winning. Well, the thing is that the guy they are putting in to these people is an overseer of terror.
So this is a black ops guy we're talking about.
Well, I mean, he was the guy that oversaw the Honduran death squads that were sent in, you know, with the Contras. Still ahead, the president's palm pilot. Plus, has Walmart put an entire state in jeopardy? All that and much more here on Air America Radio.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. they and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
When did the fake news become more important than the real news? Why does the state care whom you marry? With digital art, is the computer the artist? New Yorkers always ask the hard questions. The New School helps you find answers. There's no better place to explore new ideas and improve your skills, whether you attend a lecture, take a course, or earn a degree. The New School will challenge, inform, and engage you as you take on the demands of living in today's complex world. Come to our open house night on Wednesday, May 26th, anytime from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 66 West 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues to learn all about what the New School offers. Hundreds of courses, graduate and undergraduate degrees. For a New School summer course bulletin, call 1-800-319-4321, extension 158, or go to www.nsu.newschool.edu/summer158. The New School, knowledge that matters.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Past the hour. I'm surfing.
Book 'em, Dano. Murder one.
Man, where did that come from? It came from my childhood. I think that when I was a kid, this show was already in reruns.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
No doubt about this. This is Hawaii Five-0, which, by the way, starred and was overseen by Jack Lord.
Jack
Lord was like kind of a right wing. I mean, the guy tolerated no dissent on his set. Period. He was like Jack Webb then.
The dude with the hair.
Yeah.
And there was Dano, and there was the Helen Hayes' kid. What was his name? MacArthur?
Yeah.
The guy who,
James MacArthur.
Yeah, what was his
book character? Book him
Dano. Dano, yeah.
His name was Dan.
No, Dano. Wasn't Dano? Oh, Dan, okay.
Yeah.
Who was the heavyset Hawaiian guy?
Oh, I forgot his name.
As Kono? That's his name? Zulu as Kono. Right, that's what it was.
Yeah. But, I mean, that series ran for an extraordinary period of time.
I just remember that opening, seeing that surfing guy.
And it also was, for a lot of people, you know, kind of like their entree to Hawaii. Remember that Hawaii had just become a state about 5 years before the series started. So
there was a lot of... Have you been to Hawaii?
No.
Stunning.
Wish I had.
Stunning.
Wish I had been to Hawaii.
I went to Kauai when I was still smoking reefer. Amazing.
I've been to Hawaii, and the thing that kind of struck me was that more people I came across have moved to Hawaii to get away from their families than anybody I ever met in California. I thought California was the state of reinvention. But no. I mean, I met some people who were divorced, who hated their parents, and they said, well, why did you move to Hawaii? Thinking they'd say, oh, it's really, really beautiful. And the answer was invariably, it was the furthest away I could get.
Yeah.
And it is really far.
Yeah. And Hawaii
is really beautiful.
The people who run away to Hawaii mean it.
Absolutely. It's 5 hours flight from
they're
L.A.
They're not screwing around. So the polls, man. Bush is going down.
Yes, he is.
We get to test our guest from yesterday, Janice Galbraith, had a theory that, you know, whatever happens in the media or whatever happens, you know, on a global level, events don't really have any effect on the polls, that his polls have been diminishing slowly at a very steady decline as people, he assumes, from the numbers that there's not been much fluctuation, no matter what the guy says to the public. But he believes that it slowly diminishes as the public sees through his BS.
1.6%, I think he said, per poll.
We'll have to put it to task tomorrow when the polls post the post.
Well, he's gone down now 3 points in 2 weeks, according to CBS News. He's now got a 41% approval rating and 52% disapproved. 2 weeks ago, that was 44%. 1 year ago, that figure was 66%. An ABC Washington Post poll said 50%, half of Americans disapprove of Bush's performance, while 47% approve. And by the way, this is Iraq. Is I think the main reason why. But all of this polling was done, of course, before last night's speech. And in a head-to-head matchup with John Kerry, 49% of registered voters said they would back Kerry. 41% said they would vote for Bush. They did not include Ralph Nader in that.
Now, has an incumbent ever gone down kind of this low in national poll ratings and then had a kind of massive blip upward? No.
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. Yes, maybe they did.
Okay.
Harry Truman.
Really?
When he ran against Dewey. Remember, that was
Dewey
the year
defeats
Dewey
Truman.
Wins. Yeah.
And what was it that gave him that boost?
You know what it was? He signed a Civil Rights Act in 1948.
Well, he had a huge
plurality of black voters that came out and voted for Truman because he signed that thing. And people were stunned. And remember, too, that during 1948, he also desegregated the U.S. military.
Dude, right, so Bush should just come out and say he'll let black people vote in Florida again.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'm going to say, what would be the equivalent now? Like, oh, suddenly I've changed my mind. There's going to be free health care for everybody. I mean, he doesn't have that kind of big thing up his sleeve, does he?
Well, he doesn't have it now, but I'm not sure Harry Truman had it at this time in 1948. What happened with Harry Truman was he had literally run out of things. I mean, Dewey's victory by Labor Day was a foregone conclusion. Everybody thought this is done. The night of the election, I don't know if it was the Daily News, one of the New York papers, because Dewey was from New York, had made his reputation as a prosecutor, came and had a huge sign. Dewey was, as a matter of fact, Truman was holding the newspaper the following morning.
But he didn't announce the kind of the civil rights stuff just the night before the election. That must have been out there.
No, he did it sometime around the end of the summer that year.
Okay, so I'm just wondering what big thing is left for George Bush to fix?
Osama bin Laden.
All the huge things that there are to fix.
Osama's not going to do it.
No, I don't. I think it's tired.
Gas at $1.50 a gallon?
I think the economy is going to be the real thing. I mean, I filled that rental car up the other day. It was almost $3 a gallon.
But you know, I think even if you drop the gas prices, that people are so, as you said, Mark, that the polls have gone down and down and down and down as people have seen that this administration is so secretive and they're so angry at so many different things over the last few years. It doesn't matter if he made gas 50 cents a gallon.
Oh, no, that would matter.
You really think so?
That would be so depressing.
I kind of like to think that people care about other stuff more than just about the price of filling up their car.
Or about the money in general, you know, about how they can save money. I think the reality is that, you know, outside of something awful happening, you know, I mean, the only thing, the thing that scares a lot of people of my ilk, conspiratorial liberals, you know, secular conspiratorial liberals, is this guy will... Well, something will get by him. Something will blow up. Something dramatic and tragic will occur that will enable him to either suspend the Constitution, in a sense, and, you know, call off the election, or create so much fear that people will be afraid to oust him.
Yeah, well, I also think that if something like that did happen, if there were another terrorist attack, people, instead of thinking, great, you know, he can save us, they'll think, you know what, you kind of caused this.
I hope so. I mean, I hope you're right.
Well, people, I think, are starting to believe that he's causing these record gas prices, $2.064 per gallon.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, the average price.
$2.064?
Yeah, $2.06.
I paid a lot more than that in New York. I mean, it's like $2.75, and I think L.A.'s up way up there. You know, I wish we had time. Maybe we do in one of the other segments coming up to sort of go into this Venezuelan connection.
Because there is really that was maybe the genesis
of
the run-up. Yeah, the oil strike.
Because I'd like to flesh that out a little bit. And we are going to do that and more. We got the liberal agenda coming up in the president's Palm Pilot. And Mark Riley to take us out.
The liberal agenda, the Palm Pilot, and a New England state is endangered, and you'll never guess why. This is Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Reaction abounds to President Bush's speech last night, during which he unveiled his vision for a new Iraq. Most say the president did not offer anything new other than to say he will tear down the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. He did outline a 5-point plan for what he sees will bring about stability in Iraq. In a related development, the president's speech last night failed to give a date on when the American troops in the country will be able to return home. Bush declined to be specific, but made clear they will remain until Iraq was free and democratic. At one point, Bush suggested that even more troops may be sent to stabilize the country. President Bush's poll numbers continue to tank. Last night's speech did not seem to make a difference. Latest CBS News, New York Times survey shows that 52% do not approve of what he's doing in the White House. U.S. occupation in Iraq is a big factor. Meanwhile, more fighting in Iraq this morning between American soldiers and militiamen loyal to Cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
If you eBay or are thinking about using eBay or just want to make lots of cash buying and selling on eBay, then grab a pen to write down an important toll-free number. Last year, entrepreneur Adam Ginsberg did over $15 million in business on eBay. He wants to send you a free tape that explains how to make fast cash on eBay. He has engineered cash-generating techniques to sell products you would never think of and massively increase the value of items without spending much money. Using his program, you could develop a steady income by building your own eBay business. If you choose, you'll never have to work in an office again. Instead, you could sit back and turn eBay into your own private cash machine. You owe it to yourself to evaluate Adam's money-making opportunity absolutely free. Call right now, 800-900-3118 to get his free tape. That's 800-900-3118. Don't miss this limited-time offer to secure your financial freedom. Call 800-900-3118.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
The Majority Report.
Well, you know, I heard on Chris Matthews' show, Hardball, I can remember hearing Chris Matthews saying once, people have a viscerally bad reaction to Bill Clinton. They just can't stand him.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
How could you have a viscerally bad reaction to Bill and Hillary Clinton? Now I understand it. Because when Bush appears and speaks, I have a, yeah. I have to change it, or I have to leave the room, or I have to cry out.
Air America's Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Good God, 33 after the hour. It's Tuesday. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
Good morning.
Having a very good conversation about this and that. Many things. The president's speech, oil prices. Kerry's poll numbers. Right now it's time for the presidential palm pilot, which, of course, I get from my guy in the Oval Office who, you know, helps with the pencils and whatnot, and he hacks into the palm pilot every day. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up. Call Industrial Light and Magic. Thank them for the brilliant makeup job last night. It was good. Because, you know, all he was doing before he went on was going, okay, Abu Ghraib. Does it? Can you see it? Abu Ghraib. Can you see it? Abu Ghraib. 9:30 a.m., meet with Iraqis receiving medical care in the Oval Office. Inform them prison abuse injuries not covered, regardless of the copay. 10 a.m., whisper to Secret Service, get those people out of my office. 11 a.m., pack book on tape for upcoming trip to Ohio, the Book of Revelations, read by Patrick Stewart. 12 noon, take Air Force One to Ohio again. Ask Rove if you can just give Ohio to Kerry. 1:30 p.m., conversation on health care, Youngstown, Ohio. Tell them laughter is the best medicine. 2:30 p.m.?
No copay.
No. Speak to Ohio unemployed. Say, I wish I had time off. It's always Iraq this, torture that, and then I got to run for president. You guys got it made. 4 p.m., have Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's to prove you're just a regular guy. Ask for pancake happy face. Crack up Secret Service agents by making bacon lips talk. 5:30 p.m., fly back to Washington, finish book on tape. Note, ask Ashcroft what it means. 6:15 to 7:30 p.m., dinner with Attorney General. Get Ashcroft to have the phrase, presidential daughters, blocked on all internet search engines. 9 p.m., watch 24. Note, call Fox, might be available after November for cameo as ex-president. 10 p.m., lights out, toss and turn, thinking about Revelations. Can't get Patrick Stewart's voice out of your head.
That was a heavy day.
Man, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of biblical stuff. There's breakfast, there's, you know, torture. That was, yeah, it's a, that's
he
a
does big, have,
I never make it.
He does have that biblical stuff on his mind. Didn't he, in last night's speech, say at one point, Calgary, when he met cavalry?
Yes, he did. It was Cal, what is it? How?
One cavalry is what he meant.
Yes.
Calvary.
Calvary
is what
he meant.
Said.
He said Calvary. Calvary, which is the mountain where Christ was killed.
Yeah.
Because he's got that on his mind.
Yeah, yeah. I got something to say.
Yes.
I'm going to make this brief.
Take your time.
People will send emails and they'll say, you know, Mark Maron is being too hard on the president. He's mocking the president. He's doing this and that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take the man seriously enough. It's not just you. It's all of us. And see, when you listen to what other people have said about what we believe in over the years, it's enough to make you gag. You know, the whole idea that women who want to exercise their right to choice are feminazis.
Right.
And, you know, all the other kind of names that people make up about us.
Yeah.
And the same people are so thin-skinned when it comes to mocking their icons, and I assume Bush and his daughters and everybody else must be their icons. I've never been able to understand that. Sometimes I think don't understand that these people are trying to control the terms of the game, the rules of engagement.
Oh, yeah, by controlling the language.
And I'm not conceding that to anybody later for them.
That's good, man. I mean, and that, they do that with language, too. I mean, but this is also a bunch of people that, as we've talked about before, that say, you know, you're a Bush basher.
Yeah.
And that is really, you know, whether they know it or not, they're feminizing their own president, and that would be some sort of crime in their eyes. Because bashing, really, the idea of bashing really came from gay bashing. That's when it became culturally prominent. The language of bashing was gay bashing. So that's sort of portraying their man-child president as this sort of, you know, potential victim who, like, hey, you're just a Bush basher. Lay off the guy.
Yeah.
If you got a protect the president in that way. It was the same way when you would make a joke about Bush. And with this president, for some reason, even, you know, even now, people will go, hey, shut up, man. They feel like they have to sort of almost knee-jerk way, protect him. It's almost as if they're protecting themselves from realizing what a sort of doofus, ineffectual, lying, you know, turd the guy is.
Bad spaz.
Yeah, and they don't want to realize that, so they're going to toe this party line so the bullies stay in charge.
Right, no doubt. So, speaking of bullies staying in charge.
Yes, sir.
Walmart.
Back in the news.
They've managed to get an entire state declared an endangered species. That's incredible.
Yeah, right.
That's absolutely
it's
incredible.
It's Vermont.
Yeah.
Walmart wanted to make the entire state to Walmart.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, they have 4 Walmarts in the state of Vermont. They're supposedly small by Walmart standards, but Walmart, of course, as it does in virtually every place where it's allowed to get a toehold, is looking to expand. And, of course, they expand with their 2-pronged theme of, well, everything will cost less, and we'll have some jobs for you in the process. They don't mention that the jobs are generally low wage, and sometimes they actually lock their employees in their buildings overnight.
Yeah, what was that about? That was that poor guy couldn't get out to get an ambulance. They lock him in to do the cleaning.
Yeah,
and they don't want to. This is how you know a company sucks. Is that they can't even trust their employees, a manager even, to have keys to the place. So they got to lock them in because they're afraid that the employees will turn on them because they treat them like dirt.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because Vermont is one of those states, aside from, as I'm sure Chuck D has pointed out on more than one occasion, being the whitest state in America. Vermont is one of those rustic states. You know, every town in Vermont has a little rustic downtown area.
Yeah, June's Fudge.
Yeah, and you know, so-and-so's general store where you can buy everything from tanning oil.
Jackie's Ribbons.
Yeah.
You know, specialty stores, boutique-y kind of places.
Well, people are afraid that all of that.
Syrup.
Yeah, lots of maple.
Yep.
But, I mean, people are afraid that Vermont will lose that rustic quality, which, by the way, is a huge magnet for tourism, particularly during the winter. That they'll lose all that, you know, to the altar of the big box, ugly Walmart.
Well, they'll actually use the sort of integrity of the communities up there, because it's not, like, I don't think Walmart's going to put June's Fudge out of business, but I think that each community, you know, each town in Vermont, you know, it still functions as sort of like a town.
But you know what you know what Walmart will do?
What?
Walmart will bring in fudge and sell it for less.
Right.
The next thing you know, people will abandon June's Fudge to go buy Walmart's discount fudge, because they can get it for nothing.
But the tourists aren't going to go, let's go to Vermont, they got a great Walmart there. I would hope that that's not going to happen.
No, but while they're there, if they're looking for fudge, where will they go?
To June's that just got bought by Walmart. Yeah, June's used to have a place downtown, but now I hear Walmart selling June's fudge, and June moved out of state.
That is exactly what people are afraid of.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, they're ugly, weird places. You've been to one, haven't you?
Only one, once.
Some of them are so huge, they're entire towns. I mean, you know, it's like it's the kind of place that if you're shopping for something, you go to get a box of cereal, you might leave with, you know, tires and, you know, and a car, you know.
You know, they got $1 billion worth of subsidies, Walmart.
How does that work? I don't even understand. So they're subsidized because if they are going to put money into a state, you know, the government wants to have them there. The development is subsidized. Will you explain that to me? Because I'm a moron. Well, after this, we've got the liberal agenda up ahead, and we want to know whether you have a Walmart in your town. Do you work for them? Do they run your life? Do they ruin your life? Are they holding your loved ones hostage? Let us know. 866-303-AAR0. 866-303-2270, sedition@airamericaradio.com. We'll put you on the line right here. Come back.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Forty-four past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Edition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, Sedition at AirAmericaRadio.com. We're talking about Walmart. Do you got one in your town, in your mind? Are you working for them? Do you hate them? What are they doing? Are they ruining the world?
By the way, you know, they're also talking about opening quite a few in Europe.
They do want to expand in Europe. And, you know, I think that consumers have a lot of power here, whether it's in Vermont, which, as you said, it's now on a list of America's most endangered places by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, because they think that Walmart is going to ruin the bucolic countryside of Vermont, or whether it's in the middle of France. But people, I think if people really care enough about their local community and they want to support local businesses, that they are willing to pay slightly higher prices or higher prices and not shop at big stores. Everybody always flocks to these big stores when they first open because they're kind of fascinating. And I went to one in Tennessee once and I ended up coming out and buying some ridiculous shoe rack for the back of my door for my closet to hang everything on. And I flew back to L.A. from Tennessee with this wretched shoe rack in a box. And it was $7.99. I thought, fantastic. I couldn't resist the bargain. But my closet's a mess. I'll hang up my shoes. And then I got there, the thing kept falling apart and the stuff, you know, every time you close the door, the metal thing that clipped onto another metal thing fell off. And finally, I chucked the thing out. Mm. And, you know, I think that people they really are fascinated with the idea of not spending as much money as they think that they might have to spend. And then when you kind of get over that pretty fast.
Well, yeah, if you go, the one time I went, I happened to be out of town and went to one in upstate New York and, you know, ran in because I was looking to get something. I was getting some shoes for my daughter for a wedding, ironically enough, because the one she had didn't fit. And you walk around the store and suddenly you start seeing, you know, because I shop at home, you know, I shop in the supermarket. So you start looking at, you know, how much soap powder costs and how much this costs. And next thing you know, you're really, really tempted to walk out with about 30 or 40 bucks worth of stuff.
That's why IKEA model of shopping. You go in for one thing and you come out spending 60-something bucks. Everything is $4.99, $2.99, $3.99. But I really do think that people, that you mentioned the June's fudge, that people want to support local businesses. Consumers have a lot of power and they need to exercise it.
Mark in Cleveland, what's going on, buddy? Mark.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you? I enjoy your show every day, and Sue, you have a sexy voice. Keep
there
it up.
You go.
In Ohio, we have what we do is we info picket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
These WalMarts, we info picket the.
What does that mean? People. What does that mean, Mark?
What we do is we leaflet everybody.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Going into the Walmart when they want to expand.
Yeah.
A lot of them are turning into these superstores, and what we try to do is leaflet them and explain to them that they're actually losing money.
Okay.
Because when they do this, they want a tax abatement.
Right.
Okay? When you figure in the tax abatement, and then you figure in, you know, these people don't have health care for 2 years.
Yes.
It's 2 years for them to get, and so if their kid gets sick, who's picking up the tab for that?
Right.
You are, the taxpayer.
Right.
Also, because most of these people are families or whatever, and they can't survive on what they're making, they're on WIC.
Yes.
Okay? Or food stamps.
Right.
And so they're picking up the tab for that. So the measly pennies that they save on a shoe rack or something, it turns out that they've actually paid more and they could have done it. Not to mention the local businesses around it know that these people will put them right out of business if they keep going the way they're going. So they've worked with us. We can't organize these people because they have an actual goon squad that comes out of Arkansas.
Wow. Really? They've got their own little security force?
Oh, yeah. They've got a union busting team. If anybody that works into, tries to even speak the word union. First off, when you first go to a Walmart store as an employee, what would happen is they would show you some propaganda videos about the unions being associated with communists.
Oh, my God.
And second off, they're
terrified. Right. Thanks a lot for calling, man. Keep up the good work. So he's saying that we're going to pick it up on the back end on the tax level because of their bad employment policies. We got Skeeter in Vermont, a frequent caller. How are you, buddy?
Hi. First of all, I just want to correct Chuck D's comment about Vermont being the whitest state in the union. According to the Census Bureau, Vermont fell to second place behind Maine as that title.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, do me a favor, Skeeter. Don't sound upset about that.
No, I'm not upset. Okay. But regarding Walmart, it is true that Walmart does have at least 4 stores here, and they want to expand the stores that they have. They are small by Walmart standards, but that's because Vermont has a very strict development law that called Act 250 that developers have been trying to shoot down now for the last 10 years, and so far they've failed.
Uh-huh.
Good.
This law was passed in 1970, as a matter of fact, within weeks after the first Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart is proving to be not to be a very good employer, at least as far as the Justice Department is concerned.
Right.
I understand that there are at least a half dozen lawsuits now pending against Walmart.
It's the most sued, I think, the most sued company in the United States.
And I understand that 3 of those lawsuits were filed by the Justice Department, which I find it very interesting considering who's in charge of the Justice Department for the last 3.5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Skeeter. Appreciate your input, man.
Oh, by the way, Skeeter, and Skeeter's right. I was wrong, and I probably shouldn't have misquoted Chuck D. Maine is 96.9% white. Vermont is 96.7% white.
Hey, we got a few more callers. We're going to take them after the break. You know, stay with us. We got the liberal agenda coming up and a couple more of your calls. Thanks for being here on Air America Radio. Come back.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone. We guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Tuesday morning, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We have some rockin' lead-ins today, man. I am like between the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, you know. Between that my man Osama gave me down in the corner second, he's like, you know, are you going to mention me on the radio? Osama set me up with the Dunkin' Donuts coffee. But right now we're taking calls about Walmart, and I wanted to read this. A workers' union and other Walmart critics in Chicago have presented Walmart with an agreement that includes demands like allowing employees to form a union and agreeing to permanently forego tax breaks or other government subsidies in Chicago. So far, Walmart executives have refused to sign. We got a cat in Chicago right now, Fred in Chicago. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, well, gee, I guess you stole my fire, huh?
Oh, no, I wanted to know what's going on up there.
No, Fred, that's a lead-in.
Oh, I see. A lead into my ignorance. Okay, I was just going to say that newspapers galore,
yeah.
WCOW.com,
right.
Has a Walmart Super Center news page.
Okay,
where
we'll
you
make
track
that.
All this.
Okay.
But Illinois does lead the country in the amount of subsidies given to Walmart at a staggering $145.7 million in tax breaks.
Yeah.
Free or subsidized land and other handouts.
Wow, so you guys are trying to fight that up there.
Well, the city council is supposed to vote. I'm glad they were able to get some kind of concessions from Walmart because they have a stranglehold on Chicago's, you know, the south side of Chicago. They're
wow.
desperate for stuff down there.
Wow.
And the aldermen are really torn between having Walmart come in with their mediocre jobs or no jobs at all.
Well, that's a tough bind to be in. Well, I hope that they can strike a deal with the workers that actually treats workers properly, and that would be a big success in the face of Walmart.
Well, this is a big pro-union democratic city, and if they don't do something, I don't know, you know, the people, I hope, won't go.
Well, thanks for calling us, Fred. Really appreciate your input from the actual place of the event taking place. The place of the event taking place. What am I? Like, what? Someone teach me how to talk.
We were talking earlier, though, just about the whole idea of voting with your pocketbook. And I think that is a kind of a really big issue. And clearly, it's very hard and impossible for some people not to shop at Walmart because they're just not making enough money and they're kind of struggling to kind of keep their families together and put food on the table. But what you do see more of now over the last few years, and I think it's sort of like the kind of the fallout from the whole kind of fast food nation approach, is that people have started questioning big companies, are questioning the quality of stuff they get from McDonald's, and do they really want to feed that to their kids, and do they really think it's worth paying less and shopping at Walmart where they don't think people are getting paid decent health benefits or any benefits at all. And I think that, and also looking at their communities, how they think the quality of life is destroyed, or the charm of where they live is destroyed by these huge malls taking over and small stores going out of business.
Well, I hope they fight
a good encouraging.
Price. Yeah, I do too. I mean, it was like that guy we talked to last week who said that, you know, he spent all that time looking for something made in America. What was it, shoes?
Shoes,
yeah.
His wife, right?
And he was willing to pay the difference.
$150 he paid.
But apparently you got to be careful about that too, because it's not just because the label says made in America, it might just actually be the label. There's there's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Let's see what she has to say today. Get your notebooks and your pencils. Here are your marching orders today, liberal soldiers. One, make it easier for gay couples to adopt children, anyone's children. Two, change the name of Charlie the Tuna to Charlie the Dolphin Free Tuna. Now, damn it. Charlie the Tuna is still around?
3, have all cavity searches declared unconstitutional unless they're between two consenting popular entertainers. 4, work with animal rights groups to unionize all lab animals. It's time for the rat union. 5, insist that Bush's plan for Iraq include proposal to recycle spent shell casings. There you go. Them's your orders. Do with it what you will. Man.
What you must.
What you must and shall.
In the next hour on Morning's Edition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, Recovery Corner, and strip clubs working to get out the vote. Want to bet they succeed? This is Air America Radio.
Okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. Hmm? You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eye!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Kilbin. President Bush last night unveiled his vision for a new Iraq, outlining a five-point program aimed at stabilizing the country and projecting his plan for general elections late next year. Bush used the backdrop of the U.S. Army War College in Pennsylvania to respond to critics who in recent weeks have blasted Bush for not having a plan to end the U.S. occupation. From all indications, many of them were not impressed by what they heard last night, particularly the Democrats. A spokesman for the Democratic National Committee, Hanno Cabrera, echoed the sentiments of many in the party.
How are we going to turn over a provisional government to Iraq? What will that government look like? How long will our troops be in Iraq? When will training of Iraqi security forces be completed? What if the Iraqi authority tries to prevent a U.S. military operation inside the country?
Hanno Cabrera of the Democratic National Committee. Bush spoke for roughly 30 minutes in outlining his plan. It was the first of a half dozen speeches that the president will be giving before the June 30th deadline for the transfer of power. In other news, the man hoping to replace Bush in the White House next year says the president must turn his words into action. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry said in a statement that Bush should be reaching out to the allies for help in Iraq. Kerry went on to say that Bush should be providing leadership for the nation and not the world. The Massachusetts senator added that Bush must enlist the support of allies in changing the direction of Iraq so the burden would not be borne by American soldiers alone. President Bush's speech last night broadcast around the world did nothing to bring about peace in Iraq overnight, as fresh fighting was reported in the holy city of Najaf. This between American forces and militiamen loyal to Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Reports say several Iraqis were wounded in the attack and damage was reported to a sacred shrine during the fighting. Supporters of the militia have blamed the Americans for the damage. Al Jazeera television showed several injured people lying on the floor inside the mosque. In other news, the Army general who was charged with the U.S. prison guards accused of abusing Iraqis has been suspended from command of this 800th Military Police Brigade. Brigadier General Janice Karpinski and other officers in her brigade were faulted by Army investigators for paying too little attention to the prison's day-to-day operations and not acting strongly enough to discipline soldiers under her command for volatile violation standard procedures, that is. Karpinski's suspension, which has been announced by the Army, was the latest in a series of actions against officers and enlisted soldiers implicated in the abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib prison near Baghdad. And the president is stumping in the top electoral battleground today and touting the administration's record on a key issue, health care. President's flying to Youngstown, Ohio for a town meeting on his community health centers initiative. It is Bush's second Ohio visit in 2 weeks and his 17th visit as president, reflecting the fierce fighting going on over the Buckeye State's 20 electoral votes. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Today at 5 on Channel 7, Eyewitness News. Can one little pill help prevent breast cancer? Eyewitness News has big news for women. Plus at 5, what's bugging you? Eyewitness News takes on those annoying shrink-wrap packages. Plus at 6, homeless at 10 years old. Now she's getting her medical degree. Eyewitness News with the uplifting story of a local woman who overcame a tough childhood. Join Diana Williams, Sade Baderinois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on EBC 7.
An all-new Oprah, Academy Award winner Halle Berry.
There's just no way I can ever trust again.
The toughest year of her life.
It was heartbreaking. I just couldn't understand why. That is the issue that forced me to file for a divorce.
Plus, Benjamin Bratt. Plus, the stars of Catwoman.
Kapow!
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on EBC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Everybody knows that safety belts save lives. We've been hearing that for years. This is Dr. Drew from Loveline. I am also telling you that wearing a safety belt can save you money and hassle. You should know that the police are cracking down from coast to coast. There's a nationwide effort called Click It or Ticket. And the rules are simple. Click it or ticket. Consider this a warning from your friend Dr. Drew, because the police are not giving warnings. So remember, click it or ticket.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
So what else is news?
4 out of 5 doctors recommend that you listen to this show. Did you know that? Well, try and prove that it's false. Not easy, is it?
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
Now, imagine you have to refute more than 100 of those silly scientific claims a day. That's how many a reporter for Popular Science magazine estimates we encounter on an average day.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, George W. takes a trip to Recovery Corner. William from Chappaqua gives us a call. Plus, our strip clubs choosing sides in the presidential election. We'll get the skinny on that and other things. I'm joined this morning by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott, as usual.
Good morning.
Nice to see you people. Man, the president's speech, kind of disappointing.
Oh, we can't go straight to the strip club story?
We can go straight to the strip club story, but we're not going in that direction with the strip club story. We got a woman who owns a strip club. She lives down in Florida. She owns a big strip club in Ohio. She's in semi-retirement, but she's rallying together strip club owners and strippers to get political, to go out there and plug the vote.
Strip for Kerry?
The strip for plug.
I don't know if that's the angle, but we're going to look for some campaign
slogans. That would be a good button, though, wouldn't it? Strip for Kerry.
Yeah, I think that we're going to come up with some slogans. We're going to see, but
can
that's certainly
comp?
One of them. Can we get comp? We'll talk to her on the phone.
Yeah,
we're going to try and stay dignified about having an enterprising, democratic, bipartisan stripper.
That I would like to see.
Oh, come on. We don't get too dirty on this show.
Anyway, back to Bush.
Out of respect for you, Sue.
Yeah.
Because we know what
happens.
You sort of detach and curl up into a ball when we start getting too lewd. But anyways, George Bush lays it down in sort of a soft sell last night, and one of the most interesting things to me, quickly, an email concerning our Walmart segment last hour. Yep. A guy emails me and says that Walmart, where he's writing from Bowling Green, has put out mom-and-pop businesses like Kmart. Actually, Walmart has pushed the quaint boutique in-store Kmart out.
Kmart, Target.
And somewhere. Now they've got this German megastore coming in pushing Walmart out. It's just, it's insane. It's like some sort of strange corporate ecosystem. But Bush lays down this thing that he's going, so let me pronounce this word right because I keep getting it wrong, sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
How can it be sovereign? If there's going to be 138,000 American troops there, there's going to be one of the largest American embassy in the world, 3,000 employees from the State Department, the Pentagon, the CIA, overseen by John Negroponte, the guy who oversaw the Honduran death squads during the Iran-Contra affair. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy, they're going to be sovereign except, you know, in extreme cases where he might need to dispatch some black ops to maintain tribal problems or terrorist problems. Let's not forget that Iraq was not a terrorist stronghold until Bush created it. With the incredible American ingenuity and can-do spirit, Bush has successfully created the most effective terrorist manufacturing center in the world. We now have a very specific place where they can gather and start doing more, you know, devious, as he said. What did he say in very strong language? It's going to get bad because these guys are good because, you know, he should have just said, because we created this space for them to be as efficient as possible.
We got more bad news for Bush, by the way.
What do you
and
got?
I know this warms the cockles of your heart. The president of the Iraqi Governing Council said today, a proposal, which, by the way, went to the UN yesterday, the U.S.-British blueprint for post-occupation Iraq falls short of expectation.
I just don't understand what was really new about it, apart from the fact that he said what we, you know, the list of things that they have to do, you know, rebuild the infrastructure, establish security, encourage more international support, and he did it under 5 points. I mean, it didn't seem as though there was really anything at all groundbreaking on you, except that he had to acknowledge that there will be some chaos ahead. It wasn't all of that sort of usual, so much optimism, everything's great. There was enough language in there to suggest he knows there's a problem.
I think we got him saying that, like that it's going to be this chaos ahead. No, duh.
As the Iraqi people move closer to governing themselves, the terrorists are likely to become more active and more brutal.
That's because we helped them out by giving them a place to go and organize. You know, and then he uses Afghanistan as some example as like a, you know, a nurturing sort of like young democracy. What are you, crazy? I mean, for God's sakes, Osama bin Laden is still up in the hills there. You know, God knows what he's doing. Sort of maybe sending smoke signals out. Probably not. He can't use his cell phone anymore. Maybe he's doing it telepathically. But the guy is still out and alive and he hasn't been harnessed. And what there's a democracy in Afghanistan. What does Karzai do? I think he sits in a castle and says, I hope the warlords do not hurt me. Please, please. Yes, you can grow it. Grow it. Grow all the opium you need. It's very good. Very good. I mean, all my middle accents, Middle Eastern accents sound the same, and I apologize for that. If there's any Afghanis out there who are like, he is not doing it properly, I'm sorry. It's just to affect. I'm not trying to be racist. We're all on the same team here.
They can call in the next segment and just give you a little tip.
Yep. Now, the Iraqi Governing Council's response to the and by the way, this wasn't a response to Bush's speech per se. This was in response to the UN resolution that the U.S. brought yesterday. And, you know, the Iraqi Governing Council is U.S. appointed. So these are America's friends saying this. Ghazi Mashal Ajil al-Yawar didn't elaborate when he spoke to reporters after a governing council meeting earlier today. He said they welcomed the statement on the part of the president that the occupation will actually end on June 30th. But he said that there would be more. He had hoped there would be more input in the UN draft resolution from the Iraqi Governing Council. Now, understand what that means. That means they have just given a huge boost to France, Germany, and Russia, who are on the Security Council, opposed the war to begin with, and were skeptical about the draft resolution in the first place in terms of who was actually going to be running Iraq after the transition. So this kind of really hurts the efforts of the United States to get the United Nations on board this thing.
I think that the only way they're going to get the United Nations on board is that they're going to have to start, you know, divvying up the booty. they're going to have to start offering, you know, lucrative contracts.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like they were, which booties they were going
to
kiss.
Well, they're going to have to do that, too. But it seems to me that it's going to all come down to money, right? And I'm not saying this is a good thing, but I'm saying that, you know, they're going to have to start awarding contracts in the rebuilding effort to countries that they may not have, you know, been in business with before.
That's partly about that. France wants a role in rebuilding because it was shut out.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's the only way they're going to, you know, and whether now they have to take help from, you know, whoever will give it, because they need to make it seem like there's some sort of, you know, international interest in doing this.
You know what we need to do? We need to run down Bush's 5 points so that people understand very clearly, because I didn't when I got in this morning, exactly what the 5 points are. And he, of course, during the course of his speech at the Army War College, laid down this 5-point plan to bring democracy to Iraq. Step one is the actual transfer of power to an interim government on June 30th. Step two is a little tricky since it involves the continuing presence and commitment of United States troops. The president put it this way.
Our commanders had estimated that a troop level below 115,000 would be sufficient at this point in the conflict. Given the recent increase in violence, we will maintain our troop level at the current 138,000 as long as necessary. This has required extended duty for the 1st Armored Division and the 2nd Light Cavalry Regiment.
And you thought you had trouble with sovereignty, huh? That would be cavalry.
But at this point, he might need some religious
help with cavalry. He's got cavalry on his mind.
He's thinking, well, God, please help me out here.
Yep. Now, step three is rebuilding Iraq's infrastructure, which I assume includes, you know, the building of a new maximum security prison and the destruction of Abu Ghraib. Number four is getting more international support for the transition, and I maintain that this statement by the head of the governing council hurts that effort. Why would the UN go along with your resolution when the guy that heads the body that you appointed said that it falls short of expectations? But, hey, I quibble. And number five, and this is the big one, is national elections by next January. Those are his 5 points. Now, none of these points are new. None of these points break any new ground whatsoever.
But he thinks if he repeats it and he says it to the American people that they'll believe it. And if, as long as reporters do their job, you know, if this turnover of power actually happens, as long as reporters do their job and stay on top of military activity and the new embassy there headed off by Negroponte, and we actually see what's going on in Iraq post the turnover of power, I think that it'll probably become apparent that there is still an occupation. It is going to be a puppet government. These are my assumptions, you know, based on what I know of history, which is limited because I'm no genius.
But how does this government give the impression that it has a handle on what's going on in Iraq when it was just yesterday, unless I've gone crazy, that we were reporting that they blew up a Humvee 50 yards from the entrance to supposedly the safest place in central Baghdad.
Well, you know, what they do is the kind of image control by announcing the only new stuff, as you said earlier, was the fact that they announced they were going to demolish Abu Ghraib after they've built a maximum security jail. And they said, the second thing which we didn't mention earlier, they're going to punish the general who kind of oversaw security at the jail at the time. I think it's about trying to distract people. It's about trying to erase the kind of really dishonorable images of post-war Iraq and look as though that, you know, okay, you know, we see what's going on now. Let's take some initiative and we're going to correct this all. But that's what they're trying to do.
With the prison thing, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, only after, you know, it has become representational of our disgrace.
Remember,
we decide to wreck the prison.
We all said last week that Janice Karpinski was going down. All three of us agreed on that. And we see the beginnings of, because that's who you're talking about, right?
You mean,
yes, General Janice Karpinski, Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, who was the commander of the 800th Military Police Brigade and who was really criticized in the Army's investigation of the abuses at the jail.
You mean go on in, Karpinski?
But more than that,
I recognize you. Go on in, Karpinski.
But more than that, there's also Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez.
Out.
Surprise, surprise, out.
Rotating out.
Right. He will leave his command this summer to be replaced by the Army's 2nd ranking general. And they're trying to say this has nothing to do with the Abu Ghraib stuff. It was going to happen anyway. I mean, how dumb are we?
Who?
Us? Me?
I mean, no one's going to believe that. How can you say when Ricardo Sanchez, that Ricardo Sanchez is being moved out now and that, you know, well, this is part of a, you know, planned rotation and it has nothing to do. Just the fact you say it has nothing to do with the abuses in the Abu Ghraib jail means it had everything to do with the abuses in the Abu Ghraib jail.
Still ahead. It took us 2 months on the air, but we finally figured out a segment involving politics and strippers.
Yes, yes.
Up next, Dream Diary as well, right here on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Worry is emotional torture. It consumes you and robs you of happiness and peace of mind. Anxiety is worry gone out of control, and you can't help it. It tears at your nerves and rips at your heart. It makes your mind race in circles and keeps you from enjoying the moment. Sometimes people turn to medication or alcohol for relief, but medications can have negative side effects, and some medications, as well as alcohol, can be addictive, causing more problems. Anxiety and the worry that goes with it ruins relationships and careers and tears families apart. And people that love you, they tell you to just stop it, that you're doing it to yourself, but you can't because you don't know how. I can show you how. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me send you a powerful free tape that will provide you with insight and hope. Call 1-800-600-8892. And I'll send you this wonderful free tape. That's 1-800-600-8892.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Good morning. 21 past the hour, Mark Maron, Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. And we've got a woman who owns a gentleman's club, she'd rather it be called, a strip club, a gentleman's club, who is campaigning, getting people, rallying people to vote. But first, we have my dream diary. So those of you who write emails like, when I hear the dream diary, I take a shower, I change the channel, or blah, blah, blah.
It sounds like a strip club might be the same thing as your dream diary.
Uh-oh.
What? Anyways, what was I going to say? Oh, those of you who like the dream diary, it's time. Here we go. My dream diary for last night, and it's a weird one. So I'm in the woods riding my bike with Bush up hills, down hills. The Secret Service is following me. I'm wearing a jacket made out of pine cones. Strange animals are attacking him. Lavender bears and plaid-colored wolverines and two prison guards from Abu Ghraib. And Jello Biafra is there. And that surprised me because I didn't even think I knew what he looked like. Bush hits all of them with his tires, and they go flying. We start riding faster and faster, and the trees start whooshing past. Bush's ass is bouncing up and down in front of like a hummingbird. We're going insanely fast, like that boat ride on the chocolate river Willy Wonka had. Then Bush hits some loose soil and he falls in slow motion, squealing like a litter of piglets. He crashes against some rocks and he scrapes his face. Once he's on the ground, I ride my bike over his head, leaving black tire marks on his face. Again and again and again. 50 times I do it, and I'm laughing. I've never laughed so hard in my life. This is the best day I've ever had. And I say, how's this for Bush bashing, smart boy? I'm so mean, you know. Bush looks at me with big, sad puppy dog eyes, and he's all cut up and bleeding, and he looks like Jesus in the Passion of Christ, only much funnier. Why, he waits. I say, why not? And I throw a handful of pine needles at him, and they stick in his eye. This makes me laugh even harder. And then I soil myself. Wow, I forgot about that part. I'm glad I wrote that down. Which makes me laugh even harder than I was before. And then the laughing becomes exhausting, so I weep for a while and rock back and forth like an autistic child. I wake up and my bed is filled with condor eggs. What is that about? I got problems.
Was the bike ride all downhill? I hope it was for Bush if it wasn't for you.
It was all very exciting. You know, before that speech, that all he was thinking was like, you know, can you see it? Can you see? Is it okay? Did you fix it?
Make up!
Yeah, did you see it? Is it? You can't tell, right? And that and going, Abu Ghraib, Abu Ghraib, Abu Ghraib.
But he didn't get that
and then
right.
And he got in and said, Abu Grump.
The hill is his poll ratings. It's downhill all the way.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, the reason why I asked that about the bike riding thing is because, you know, when you ride a bike, there's a point where you get... You're going fast, and you feel like you're going to lose control. That's what your dream diary just reminded me of. Where you get to that point where you're going so fast, you're not sure you can actually hold on to the bike anymore. And then next thing you know, you're flying.
That's the best bit, though, isn't it?
Only if you don't fall over.
That's true.
Dude,
only
let's
if you don't hurt yourself.
Let's lay down this. Can we do the gas story? Can we talk
Absolutely.
About gas prices? Because I want to learn, Riley, that you know that I'm paying a lot of money to put gas in my car.
Me too.
And it's starting to look like it all started, or a lot of this slippery slope of these gas prices started with the oil strike in Venezuela. And I'd like you to hit me a little on how this all works on
okay,
an economic level.
Let's start at the beginning. Venezuela has plenty of oil.
Yes, I know that.
Unlike Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, it takes almost no time to get it here. As opposed, you know, Venezuela I think takes 6 days versus several months to get Saudi oil here.
Okay? Right. Okay.
So Venezuela was a relatively solid oil partner,
right?
Oil provider.
Right.
Along comes Hugo Chavez, who's
right.
part of a wave of folks. In Central and South America, who are, I guess, what you would call left of center, liberal, however you want to describe them, progressive. The United States hates his guts. The United States then turns around, and I think you may have heard Condoleezza Rice back during that same period in 2002, encouraging, as a matter of fact, they announced that a coup took place and that Chavez had been deposed and sent into exile, and it turned out that wasn't the case. There's been a lot of speculation that the United States has backed people who have wanted to oust Hugo Chavez violently if necessary.
Really? The United States getting involved in a coup in South America?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is certainly.
Is there any historical precedents that... you know what? I'm going to research that a little bit because that sounds crazy.
Well, look under A for Allende, okay? There's where you can start. But the bottom line here is that there was a very big oil strike during the winter of 2002-2003.
I remember
in Venezuela.
That. Yeah.
And that cost 200 million barrels of oil, much of which was going to end up here in the States.
And that was instigated by provocateurs within the oil workers in Venezuela by American-backed things?
Americans certainly encouraged those who were opposed to Chavez, saying, look,
that's what I meant to
say. If you get rid of the guy, we'll be your friends.
Right.
They didn't come and say, gee, we're against coups by violence. They said, well, you know, we didn't like the guy. So anyway, We have not been had steady access to Venezuelan oil since. I was buying my gasoline, in fact, at a place that had Venezuelan oil. It no longer used Venezuelan gasoline. No longer has.
I didn't know you had those kind of choices at the pump. Can I get Venezuelan or Saudi? Or
Like Starbucks, Costa Rican, Italian.
That
would be interesting if they did that. You know, which gas pumps we would go to? People would say, you know what, I don't want Saudi oil. They would boycott a gas station and they would go somewhere they were getting Central American or Latin American oil.
You know what it would really be the problem is people go, now, okay, what's the difference between the Saudi and the Costa Rican? Because I usually use, I don't even know what I use, but I'm willing to change.
Can I have the 2%?
I went to a Citgo in Teaneck, New Jersey, and they told me, this is not Middle Eastern gas. This is gas from Venezuela, and I've been going there ever since.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So the deal is that because of all the 200 million barrels of oil were pulled out of the global economy, and the administration did not do anything
to
replace those in order to even things out. So that began the slippery slope that has led to these gas prices,
which have hit an historic high now of $2.06 a gallon. That's average. Okay, and that's across America. Here in the New York area, it's costing a heck of a lot more than that. And I think that may be one of the reasons why George W. Bush's poll numbers, as gas has hit an all-time high, his numbers have hit an all-time low. Only 30% of those surveyed approve of Bush's handling of Iraq. 41 or 42% actually approve of his handling of his presidency. And that's down from 66% just a year ago.
And it just shows that you can't manipulate this stuff because, you know, strange things happen. That even though that the Saudis pledged additional barrels, there was a production shutdown because of a safety problem at somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico, and they lost 150,000 barrels, and that put prices up. So you can try and mess around and manipulate prices, but life happens.
But a big issue is that they cut down the number of refineries in this country, from what I understand, and that really put a stranglehold on the amount of that they could even process within this country, and that was supposedly to benefit Bush's friends who own the refinery. Yes.
Absolutely. Coming up, what did you think of the president's speech, or were you watching something more important? Plus, why are gentlemen's clubs trying to get out the vote? We'll talk to a club owner when we continue here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name is Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The president has offered his plan for a new Iraq. Most political pundits and critics say there was nothing new outlined in his address last night, but he did say he wanted to turn the infamous Abu Ghraib prison into rubble and erect a state-of-the-art prison in his new Iraq. President Bush's speech last night probably had no impact on his recent declining poll numbers. Another pollster, CBS News, New York Times, revealed that Bush's running of the country is not the kind of effort most Americans want to see. FBI has admitted having made a mistake. This in the arrest of Portland, Oregon attorney Brandon Mayfield, who was jailed as a material witness in the Madrid, Spain train bombing. Mayfield told a news conference outside his home last night that he was still shaking like a leaf and his blood pressure was up and that the government will be hearing from him shortly in a legal challenge. And here we go again. A federal judge in Florida has dismissed a lawsuit filed by a Democratic congressman demanding that the state's new touchscreen voting machines issue a paper receipt. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states. So call now for details. Remember, the phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, okay, finished. And you say, no, 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 we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
Hi, this is Al Franken. This week on the Al Franken Factor, we'll journey all the way to Buster's Barbecue in Lakeway, Texas. We'll talk to some people who share my love of ribs, but not my love of meat. To put it nicely, I'm not exactly their cup of bourbon. Still, we're going to find some common ground about issues like dry barbecue versus wet, membrane on or off, and a single-payer national health care system. Good ribbon this week on the Al Franken Factor.
Good morning. Mark Maron here. It's Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott, as well as me. Hope you're having a decent Tuesday. This is Air America Radio you are tuned into. And now we're doing something that we haven't done yet, which is unusual for most morning shows, is to have a segment revolving around gentlemen's clubs or strippers, if you will. Some strip club owners across the country are actually turning their eyes away from the stage for a moment to get out the vote for Kerry. How do you like that? Joining us now is one of the organizers of the effort, a strip club owner, Gentleman's Club. I know she gets, I was told.
She's sensitive about
that. And former dancer herself, Angelina Spencer, joining us on the phone from Naples, Florida. Angelina, what are America's strippers up to?
Well, we are engaged in a national voter registration drive.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I do want to say this isn't an issue of Kerry versus Bush.
Okay.
And as an association, we have not endorsed Kerry as of yet. He's not the nominee. We don't know who his running mate is, and we don't know what his platform is. This is an issue of free speech, right to commerce, personal liberties, and grown adults legislating their own matters of personal taste.
And people within your industry are certainly familiar with those issues.
Yes, we are.
On different level, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started this effort at my club. I have a club in Cleveland, and I wanted to raise political awareness among the dancers and staff, especially mm-hmm. when one of our dancers wound up stationed in Iraq. Kristen is driving a truck from Kuwait to Baghdad. And I started researching women's suffrage issues, and I would share writings of Elizabeth Cady Stanton or discussed what our foremothers endured for our right to vote. And I discovered the National Voter Registration Form online, and I thought it would be a way to show our entertainers that their vote can count. Now,
so do you guys have little conversation groups? Do you guys meet and talk about this stuff?
Yeah, every once in a while we'll sit down. A lot of times it's informal. A lot of our patrons are also reservists that have been going back and forth to Iraq, and we do little current events discussions.
Not during the show, though, I'm assuming.
No, not during the show.
The stripper, like in the middle of a pole dance, doesn't go, who wants to talk about politics?
Of course not. but I think what makes this interesting, too,
yeah.
is I'm a registered Republican.
Uh-huh.
And my effort was certainly not intended to be an anti-Bush campaign.
Yes.
But as a result of a lot of the research I've done, I've become really disheartened and disillusioned,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's as a result of the research, I really believe that Bush is being used by fundamentalist groups as a shield so they can legislate matters of personal taste for grown adults.
Hallelujah. That is so absolutely true, and it's one of my biggest agendas personally, is to get the Christian right out of the administration and out of deciding any policy.
And it's based on their extreme Christian principles that are just as restrictive and prohibitive as the Taliban.
Absolutely.
So let me give you an example of one group and why this really, this was really the personal motivation of me and what made me bring this forward to ACE National. I did a lot of research because we were facing a bill in Ohio, and it was a restrictive legislative bill that would force us to close at 10 o'clock at night. It would force my entertainers to remain 6 feet away from patrons. And, you know, to legislate women on how far or close they can stand to a man is just ludicrous.
Are you a full nudity operation or half nudity?
We have both. We have nudity on one side and then we have topless on the other. As a result, I found out that the Citizens for Community Values, this wonderful group based out of Cincinnati, who is really nothing more than a fundamentalist group and hides behind Bush, they have some very powerful members. These members donate heavily to the Bush campaign.
And I bet you they also donate to some of your girls on off nights.
They might. They just might. Well, what's so funny is their president is a self-admitted reformed porn addict. And to me, their entire existence is to wipe out adult businesses under the ruse of protecting women and children. Now, to the general public, this is an ennobling cause.
Now, I'm trying to figure out something, Angelina Spencer. Are you saying that your dancers can't get within 6 feet of patrons?
Well, that hasn't taken place yet. I mean, this is last year it was House Bill 469. This year it's Ohio House Bill 428. So they keep coming back every year trying to cram morality.
469?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
That's a little wacky, isn't it?
You certainly motivated two people here to vote.
But wait a minute. Wouldn't that kind of almost prohibit slow dancing in any club?
Well, you would think so. You know, maybe even a person, I don't know how many times I've sat on somebody's lap when I'm at a bar.
Yeah.
When I'm at a regular nightclub,
right.
It may prohibit slow dancing. But look, this group was responsible for removing porn movies in southern Ohio and northern Kentucky from hotels.
Bastards.
And that really raised my ire.
Yeah, aren't they buzz killers?
Yeah. I mean, that is a little whack.
Go ahead, but this is what motivated you. Sorry to keep you interrupting.
That's okay. But this is what motivated me, because I'm thinking, you know what? I go to motels or hotels every once in a while with my husband. I like to enjoy those movies. That's my choice. And they said, oh, no, we didn't do it as a matter – it's not a matter of personal taste. It's a matter of law. Whose law? Taliban law?
Yeah.
And they say, well, we want to protect children. Well, I'm sorry, but any person who leaves their child in a hotel room alone to access an adult movie probably should be arrested for neglect.
Yeah, absolutely. So now how do the girls take to this? I mean, I know some dancers are kind of young, but obviously, you know, not there. You have one woman who is actually serving in Iraq, which is interesting in and of itself. But how are they taking to you sort of laying down the politicalness with them?
They're taking it well. A lot of them have expressed, wow, I had no idea. And people might laugh and say, well, yeah, you know, they don't know much of anything. That's because they're strippers, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
But, you know, I don't believe it's as much about that as it is about being youthful. And, you know, you're kind of self-absorbed and self-centered when you're in your early 20s and you're really into having a good time.
Yeah.
And so that you're not thinking about that. But now that their rights are being threatened and their right to commerce is being threatened, yeah, they're a little concerned. And I actually had, you know, one dancer approach me and she said, you know, I don't understand something. She said, the Citizens for Community Values say that that I'm denigrated and I'm a victim of this industry. And she said, when I hear them say that, I hear them taking away my right to think as a woman.
Right on. Are you going to let any of the strippers maybe put campaign stuff on their actual bodies?
I don't think so. The voter registration drive is a nonpartisan drive.
Well, okay, but how about maybe Kerry on one and Bush on the other?
I guess it depends on where you're going to put the bush.
Whoa.
Okay. You know, thank you so much for joining us, Angelina Spencer, and good luck with the drive, and it was really fun talking to you.
Wow.
So she owns a strip club, and she's mobilizing the girls to get politically activated.
She'd be mobilizing the clients, too. I want you to know what the numbers were, how many people she's got to register.
866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Give us a call. You got any interesting campaigning ideas? Do you have, what do you think of the president's speech? We'll make it a free swim. Call us.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
Forty-five past the hour, morning sedition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. Good morning to you on this Tuesday. We are taking your calls here at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Now, we're talking about whatever you want, campaign ideas. We just talked to a woman who owns a strip club who's mobilizing the women to go out and get people registered to vote, to register themselves, become politically active. We're talking about Bush's speech. It's a free swim. Whatever you think. Right now, I've got the PDB, the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that the president gets every morning from the intelligence community, the intelligence of, yeah, you know. Okay, here we go. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that a dangerous piece of Hollywood propaganda, the day after tomorrow, is set to be unleashed the day after tomorrow. That's Friday. The movie depicts a future in which the United States is destroyed by floods, tornadoes, blizzards, and other computer-generated environmental disasters. This contradicts the official White House policy that there is no global warming and that the planet will be just fine if we only allow big business to dictate our environmental policy. This film could cause people to actually think about the environment for 2 hours, and this obviously poses a threat to your presidency. The good news is that the areas experiencing the most devastation in the film are New York and Los Angeles, which you've scheduled for destruction anyway. We propose producing a counterfilm, you know, call your friends at Fox, in which Halliburton rebuilds the United States as a gated golf community for fundamentalist Christians. See if you can get Bruce Willis and Chris Tucker. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Right. Hallelujah. Raheem in San Antonio. Rom. Oh, it's Rom. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much.
Nice.
Hey,
thank you.
I wanted to call you guys because I listen to you a lot, and the problem is we seem to talk about the symptoms more than the root cause of the problem. Like, we bash on Walmart. All of us like to do that. But unless we control the basic problem of overconsumption, we can never solve the problem. We talk about education. Unless education is an institution, it is like mother's milk to a child.
Yes.
Once you commercialize it, no matter what band-aid solutions we apply, it's going to the Indians and the Chinese are going to take away your jobs.
Right.
And you know, we never address the actual source of the problem. We always address the symptoms.
I understand what you're saying. Wait, and thank you for your for the Ganesh doll. Figurines. It was very nice of you, Rahm. And you know, I think he's right. I mean, if we can teach Americans to stop, you know, eating and buying stuff and putting so much gas in their huge cars and just maybe taking a little social responsibility, maybe that would help a bit, I believe. As far as the jobs, what he was saying about outsourcing and education, I'm not sure I'm clear on what he was saying.
No, he's right. The thing is, you have to, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
A group of people have to say, well, you know what? We're not going to buy cars that eat gas.
Right.
We're not going to spend on stupidity. We're going to start doing things differently, and it has to spread from there. So far, not so good, but hey.
Hey, from the top too, though, you have to not have a president who, after 9/11, tells you the way to get over it is to go out and shop.
That's true.
Resume consumption. Rick in Virginia. Rick?
Hi, my comment is that I think the president actually believed what he was saying last night on TV.
I think you're right.
I think all he objected is what he wants. Perhaps he's used to in life just saying, give me something, and it's given to him. He didn't tell me how he was going to do it.
Right.
I myself would like several million dollars in world peace, but that doesn't mean that just by praying to God I'm going to get it.
Have you tried, Rick?
I'll have to try harder.
Thanks for your call, buddy.
See, just quickly on that religious note, earlier we mentioned that Bush made a fumble in his speech when he referred to Calvary instead of the cavalry. Calvary is where Christ died,
mm-hmm.
and the cavalry is clearly one of the divisions or the regiments in the army. And I made a reference earlier about how he was clearly kind of subconsciously invoking God. I just wanted to clarify
that.
Yeah,
it's always, well, that's because, you know, God is talking to the president at all times. And I think that what Rick says is true, that he's different than a lot of presidents, is that, you know, Bush really does believe the BS that he's put up to say. And it's disturbing how he can sort of convince himself of that. Tom in New York City, how are you, buddy?
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
To hear you guys on the air.
Thanks so much.
Listen, you know, I've been listening to a lot of the media this week about the upcoming speech that was last night, which I didn't watch.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about an exit strategy and whether he's going to articulate an exit strategy. And, you know, it occurs to me that these guys don't want to articulate an exit strategy because it was up to them. They keep us there forever.
They're not, exactly. They're never going to leave. There's no indication of an exit strategy. And he just out and out said, we're going to keep 138,000 of our guys there. There's going to be the biggest embassy in the world there, overseen by one of the great war criminals from the Iran-Contra affair. And that's going to employ 3,000 people. So whatever he's saying is a turnover, it's clearly symbolic. And clearly the government is going to be a puppet to the American military and the American administration. I mean, I don't see how it couldn't. That's my particular belief.
I concur.
So we'll be back. Is that what we're doing? We'll be back with Recovery Corner. We'll be back with maybe William from Chappaqua will call. We'll be back with so many things. Please come back to us here on Air America Radio.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease nasal spray. LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll-free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $54,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $108,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. Joe in Boston writes, I didn't consider your interview with the strip club owner ratings pandering. However, your puerile questions to the owner were just a bad Stern imitation. Dude, question. Right, we chose the guest. We chose the guest because she's doing something interesting in the realm of politics. I'm talking to the owner of a strip club. How am I not going to, you know, even make reference to boobs or to perhaps, you know, interesting ideas to use boobs on? How am I not going to do that, Joe? How am I not going to do that? Would it have just been better if I just done some sort of, you know, straight interview and didn't even acknowledge that the industry was in? Really, really, how about that? How am I going to do that? I appreciate your email. It's in, and I see on the email that you're no prude and that you appreciate the writhing female body as much as the next guy. But getting lame stripper jokes on AAR is like getting salad at McDonald's. You know, are all stripper jokes lame? Is there some intelligent way to do that? I thought the Bush-Kerry approach was sort of okay. But, you know, I get what you're saying, buddy. Thanks for writing. Now, I'd like to say, hi, I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in the recovery corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And today, as always, I'm offering counsel to my sponsee, George W., One of the central teachings in recovery, it's not a teaching, but it's an idea. Act as if, okay? You know, act as if you're sober. Act as if you're a sober, responsible person until you become that person. Good idea, right? But not in your case, George W. You can't just apply act as if to everything. You act as if you were actually elected, as if you know how to ride a bike, as if you're really going to turn over Iraq by June 30th, as if tax cuts are actually going to help the economy. You keep this up, we're going to have to take act as if off the list. No more act as if for you, George W. It's time to get real, buddy. That speech last night was one long as if. You're drunk on a cocktail called delusion with a denial tracer. So, you know, don't give the Iraqi people your hangover. Tell the truth, buddy. Look in the mirror and say, today I will not lie to everyone all day about everything. If that's too much, maybe you should get a new job. It's last call, buddy. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay in the White House. Remember, every day is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Keep the plug in the jug. Think, think, think. Do the next right thing. And don't drink. That's Recovery Corner for today.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that nice? So I heard that, you know, Bill, you know, President Clinton is up in Chappaqua with nothing to do. I read a report that he's lonely. He's a little bored. He's calling us as usual. You know, and whenever I bring him up, he's like, there he is. William in Chappaqua. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. It's lonely, though.
What do you mean it's lonely? You wrote a big, aren't you, what are you, just sitting up there? I thought you had big things going on.
Well, actually, it got so bad that I not only attended an elementary school play, I invited 2 12-year-olds into my living room to talk about the impact of technology on everyday life.
Why?
Well, I had to invite 12-year-olds because they're outside the danger zone.
What does that mean?
Well, the danger zone's like, you know, 15 to 65.
President Clinton.
5 and a half.
You really, you've got it. You know, oh, wait. There's Bill. There's Bill in Harlem.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Talk about being lonely. You know, I don't have a problem bringing those 2 12-year-old girls into my house. You know, I just do a little window shopping. Just a little something to put on my to-do list. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Elvis gets lonesome. Yeah. Elvis doesn't have to be alone. Come on, I got a big old ego to eating at dinner time.
So you're just
seeing, to my house.
You're just seeing how they're coming along, then you're just checking in.
Yeah, you know I got to check the crops down there. You don't water them, they don't grow, my friend.
Oh boy, so
I hate myself. I hate myself every day, and I love it.
So
people should hate themselves more.
What do you got planned for the next couple days?
Well, yeah. I'm going to go to some high school graduations. my idea.
Well, thanks for calling, President Clinton. Always good to talk to you, too.
All right, Mark.
All right, buddy. Yeah.
When Morning's Edition continues, the morning devotional, the liberal agenda, plus, do you respect the Bush twins? Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Travelocity's 5th annual cruise super sale has been extended. It's the biggest cruise sale ever.
Indeed. I've already eaten my weight in lobster scampi.
Save on every cruise line and destination. Get up to $300 cash back and up to $100 more when you book with your MasterCard.
How clever.
Hurry. The sale ends March 4th, 2004. Call 1-800-222-3690. Visit travelocity.com/supersale or AOL keyword cruise. Restrictions apply. See site for offer details.
Book with Travelocity. Don't forget your hat.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President George W. Bush took his vision for a new Iraq to the American people and the world last night in a 30-minute address. He outlined a 5-point program aimed at stabilizing the country and bringing about a democratically elected government next year. But many this morning are reacting to the speech saying there was nothing new other than his promise to tear down the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. Most Democrats are concerned that there was no mention of who the administration was turning the interim government over to. They also balked about the lack of guarantees that Iraqi nationals would find the plan palatable. And most Americans, based on media responses this morning, were hopeful the president would have been more definitive insofar as an exit date for U.S. troops. At the United Nations, preparations are well underway for the development of a new Iraq. Members of the world body have been examining a U.S.-British draft resolution for the post-U.S. occupation. British government defended the proposal, saying it was the best plan for stabilizing the country, but not all within the group were sanguine about the new plan. French foreign minister says he hopes his nation will have a voice in the new phase of the talks over Iraqi sovereignty. Chile's ambassador to the United Nations, Geraldo Munoz, felt the plan will probably win approval, but will require more fine-tuning before acceptance.
I think we will have consensus, but we're going to have to work hard to get that consensus, because I think there are a lot of differences yet. This is a first text. This is a first step. Many of the preoccupations of the delegations have been incorporated. Others haven't.
Chile's ambassador to the United Nations, Geraldo Munoz. Meanwhile, the president of the Iraqi Governing Council said today, this just coming in, that a U.S.-British blueprint for a post-occupation Iraq now before the U.N. Security Council falls short of Iraqi expectations. President Bush's speech last night probably had no impact on his recent declining poll numbers. Another poll to CBS News and New York Times revealed that Bush's running of the country is not the kind of effort most Americans want to see. Latest poll indicated that only 41% of the respondents approved of what he was doing. FBI has admitted to having made a mistake. This in the arrest of Portland, Oregon attorney Brandon Mayfield, who was jailed as a material witness in the Madrid, Spain train bombing. Mayfield told a news conference outside his home last night that he was still shaking like a leaf and his blood pressure was way up, and that the government will be hearing from him in a legal challenge very soon. And officials in Philadelphia say a motion detector found in a commuter rail yard earlier this month was put there by an employee, apparently to warn him of approaching supervisors. The discovery of the device on May 5th spooked law enforcement officials, who have been on heightened alert for suspicious activities around train tracks since the terrorist bombings in Spain in March. Officials at the Southern Eastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority say an employee told the FBI he put the device by the tracks to alert him of approaching foot traffic. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
You work hard and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR, but they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's Cortislim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with Cortislim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Randy Rhodes.
Conservatives won't allow gays to marry because they'll cite studies that show that children of gay parents rarely grow up to be very strapping heterosexual men and women who one day put underwear on the heads of prisoners and throw naked bodies on the foreigners into piles and torture people with sexual humiliation. That very rarely happens when you come from a sensitive home.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. Today we'll crack into the president's Palm Pilot. We'll tell you what good liberals are supposed to do, and we'll get the producer of The Day After Tomorrow on the phone so I can ask him what was he thinking. How was that? That's coming up right now. I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you too. So I did go to see that movie last night. I went to the screening of it.
The trailer looked awful.
Well, you know, I disagree with you. I think that the trailer looks kind of cool. I think that, you know, when I saw that twister rip into the Hollywood sign, I was like, yes, how beautifully hilarious is that?
No, but the effects look great, but you thought, how is that going to be good?
Well, I mean, I actually was, like, I really was looking forward to it.
You were?
Okay. Yeah, I really was, you know. I mean, the tidal waves and, the, you know, things freezing and, like, anything apocalyptic, you know, I tend to gravitate towards if it's well done.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, Dennis Quaid is in this movie, all right? And this is the same director who did
Independence
Day with the aliens. Now, you know, Randy Quaid, the ugly Quaid brother, you know, was able to save the world by sacrificing himself flying up into the scoop of one of these, you know, flying saucers. Now, the attractive Quaid brother was unable to save the world, though he did restore his relationship a little bit with his son. Now, this is what you have with this movie, is that there's a new ice age that comes upon the world. You know, and it's not even fully established that it's because of environmental reasons. I mean, the vice president in the film said, you know, you're crazy. You know, the projection was for it to happen 100 years down the line, and all of a sudden it happens tomorrow, and the vice president's wrong. But the story is really about a scientist who spent too much time being a scientist, got a divorce apparently, and neglected his son.
Right.
So that's established early on.
It's the modern parable. Save the world, be a good dad.
I guess it's a modern parable, but here's the real problem is you've got this global event that theoretically probably killed about, you know, most of the planet.
Okay.
All right. But at the end, that is never really addressed. It's just sort of like that's the backdrop for this guy to go, son, from here on out, I'm going to be a good dad. Yeah, I mean, that's really what this movie is about. There's never really any addressing the billions of people that were killed in this. But thank God Randy Quaid and his son are going to get along better. And he was able to have his first kiss while they were almost freezing.
Isn't
to
it Dennis?
Dennis Quaid, yeah. And also, a kid with cancer doesn't die. They'll ruin it.
Poor Chris here hasn't seen it yet.
He's devastated.
He loved the trailer. So Chris, we're saving you $10, $50, or whatever the heck it costs to see a movie.
Chris,
in New York.
All you need to know is that the special effects are completely worthwhile. You know, they really are. And there's some moments where people freeze and stuff that's great. You know what I mean?
But I'm just saying, as far as freezing people go, it's great.
The effect of the film, you know, to, you know, really encapsulate, you know, the possibilities of environmental disaster are sort of, you know, they're over the top and maybe they're possible or whatever, but it doesn't really connect it to environmental issues. And the movie is really about a few small human stories, you know, in the face of, you know, this catastrophe that kills billions of people. And the only hopeful thing at the end is like, hey, you know, mankind lived through the first Earth Age. We're just going to have to, you know, buckle down and learn how to build igloos, you know, and we'll probably have to eat different things. And, you know, everyone gets to go to Mexico.
You know,
it's really where the film goes.
But the great thing about those movies, even if you thought it wasn't very good, is that, you know, in general, Americans have a much greater capacity to tolerate apocalyptic visions and almost kind of see their worst case scenario, the kind of the nightmare that haunts you about you know, the world being wiping out on screens than Europeans do. There's many kind of violent, kind of devastating
that
movies.
That is such a focused statement. It sounds like you might have had a poll. Do you have any evidence of this?
Are you just making a blind assumption? Looking at the movie business, I'm always really kind of shocked at the number of, like, you go see these shows, like, whoa, that's so scary. I mean, the world's going to be wiped out and we're all going to be killed. And I don't think I want to deal with that. The real world's scary enough. But Americans, like, yeah, the world was really, really scary. Let's go and see stuff that's even scarier.
Yeah,
fantastic ability to see your subconscious on a huge screen.
Well, that's
that I can't handle.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know if it's American. I think, you know, the apocalyptic idea is, you know, it's not necessarily American. I think everybody's concerned about it, but whether or not they're entertained by it, it certainly could be in America.
We've got better special effects.
Yeah, we've got better special effects. But why don't we check in, Riley, with the real apocalypse?
The real apocalypse? That happened at 8 o'clock last evening at the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
It said in Revelations that the man called Bush will address the people of the last country.
Well, he spoke last night. He spoke for 33 minutes. I guess the jury is still out.
At 33 plus times 2, 66, add a 6, 666. How clear does it have to be, people?
There you go. I don't know if Americans bought it. I don't know if people really think that this five-point plan that Bush came up with, and I'm assuming, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt by saying he came up with it.
It was originally a six-point plan, 666. How clear does it have to be? People, wake up.
Well, you know, he said last night that enemies of the U.S. occupation, and make no mistake about it, no matter how you try and slice it, it is an occupation. But he says that America's enemies will not let up as the transition to self-government comes closer.
As the Iraqi people move closer to governing themselves, the terrorists are likely to become more active and more brutal.
Could you hit that music anyway?
That was Bush's first instrumental accompaniment at a national televised address, and I thought it was very successful.
He had a great band with him.
Yeah, really.
Great band. Those guys rocked behind Bush.
Who's the other guy? Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, good evening.
They rock, man.
Well, he's saying that the United States are liberators, not occupiers. But, you know, I heard a report early this morning. Well, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, very few Iraqis on the ground. It should come as no surprise to Americans. Now, we're not talking about insurgents here. We're not talking about people that are cutting off the heads of innocent Americans. We're just talking about just plain everyday Iraqis. They're not buying George W. Bush. Whether we do or not, they aren't.
Yeah, that was hilarious. There's a news report that he dropped in the Muslim vote.
Yeah.
That a lot of Muslims aren't voting for George Bush. No, really. That's completely unusual. Well, the truth of the matter is, look, what we were talking about before is that it's almost impossible for there to be any reasonable, you know, any real turnover. There's no, give me the, say it right, sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
I just want to say sovereignty, which makes me Bush-like. But there's sovereignty is not possible if he's going to leave 138,000 troops on the ground. If he's going to have the largest embassy in the world there, 3,000 employees, Pentagon, State Department, CIA, the overseer of it, the ambassador is John Negroponte, a war criminal, but not convicted war criminal, who oversaw the Honduran death squads during the Iran-Contra affair. He's now going to be there overseeing that. So what does that mean? How is it not going to be a puppet government? Like, you know, if anything goes wrong, he'll just, you know, sort of like dispatch a little black operation thing to, you know, quell a tribal conflict, to do this and do that, and to sort of make sure that terrorism is still active in its own way. We did create the biggest terrorist manufacturing plant in the world. It wasn't like that.
By invading Iraq, we absolutely did. But see, now here's another problem that is going to be coming up soon. So remember, you heard it here on Air America Radio first. If the United Nations, by some miracle, accepts the UN blueprint for the transfer of power, it will mean the introduction of UN troops from UN member states. America has always had problems coexisting with troops from under a United Nations auspice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
The idea that a United Nations commander can tell American troops what to do grates at an awful lot of members of Congress, and I'm not sure they're going to sit still for it if that is, in fact, what Bush has planned after June 30th.
Well, here's another problem. No one wants to be told what to do by the American troops. There's a poll out in today's Guardian newspaper in Britain saying that, first of all, two-thirds of Britain's polled oppose their sending any extra troops to Iraq to help the situation. Foundation. And, you know, of those who think that maybe troops should go, or even overall, 84% of people think that Mr. Blair should insist that if any troops do go, they must serve under British commanders in only British-controlled sectors of Iraq and have nothing to do with the United States military.
Now, does that mean that there is a plan afoot that the British know about to actually have British troops under American jurisdiction after the transition? Is that what they're saying?
It's all very vague. It's a bit, you know, the Downing Street, you know, Tony Blair's offices say, and the Ministry of Defense are insisting that no decision has been made yet on whether they will send reinforcements, although there have been some indications coming out in the media that more would be dispatched to help get Iraq under control. And there's some speculation they might not say anything at all until around about the middle of June, June 10th, when there are local and European elections. It's a bit like the run-up to the war, when the public is feeling very unsettled because they're voicing their opposition to anything happening, but yet they feel a decision has already been made at the top level, although the Prime Minister and the Defense Department are denying it. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it sounds like they don't trust their government any more than we end up trusting ours.
Well, that's because why would they trust their government? Because it's like, you know, it's kissing our government's ass a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's disappointing, I think, for certainly a lot of Americans who kind of reveled in the friendship between Tony Blair and our previous caller, William from Chappaqua.
Can you help us with that was a short conversation. Bush saying, hey, Tony, you help us out with Iraq? Let's see, colonizing the Arab people. Yes, we do have a volume on that.
Here's just something to Mark Maron on sovereignty. You might not have to learn to pronounce sovereignty. You can maybe try legitimacy instead, because there are some academics who think that the issue of sovereignty is this big buzzword and that Bush is banding it about, but that might not be the thing that actually is most important to a new Iraqi government or to Iraqis. What they really care about is legitimacy. Sovereignty is very symbolic, but what they really want to have is power. They want power to make decisions, so even if they don't get full sovereignty, they want to be able to control the army, to make laws, to run the prison system, to oversee the mail. I mean, they want the things that come with sovereignty, even if it's not fully there.
Well, there's no way that's going to be in place in 36 days.
Right, but it's misleading of Bush to keep on pushing this sovereignty thing, because sovereignty itself is quite meaningless if the government doesn't have legitimacy.
It's meaningless to say it anyways, because until the troops are out of there, there's no sovereignty possible.
Plus, we haven't heard from Sistani yet, and watch what happens when we do.
So ahead, the president's Palm Pilots, the morning devotional, and is it hypocrisy for the White House to ask that the media respect his daughters? All that and more on Air America Radio.
Here's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, Director of the Cornea Service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020, or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Twenty-one past the hour. I'm Mark Maron, Morning's Edition with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. It's time for me to read what my buddy, my dude, my guy in the Oval Office sent me from the Presidential Palm Pilot. He downloaded it while he was replacing the pencils. Here's the Presidential Palm Pilot for today, May 25th, 8 a.m. Wake up, call Industrial Light and Magic, thank them for the brilliant makeup job last night. 9:30 a.m. Meet with Iraqis receiving medical care in the Oval Office. Inform them that prison abuse injuries not covered, regardless of the copay. 10 a.m. Whisper to Secret Service, get those people out of my office. 11 a.m. Pack book on tape for upcoming trip to Ohio. The Book of Revelations, read by Patrick Stewart. 12 noon. Take Air Force One to Ohio again. Ask Rove if you can just give Ohio to Kerry. 1:30 p.m., conversation on health care, Youngstown, Ohio. Tell them laughter is the best medicine. 2:30 p.m., speak to Ohio unemployed. Say, I wish I had time off. It's always Iraq this, torture that, and then I got to go run for president. You guys got it made. 4 p.m., have Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's to prove you're just a regular guy. Ask for pancake happy face. Crack up Secret Service agents by making bacon lips talk. 5:30 p.m., fly back to Washington. Finish book on tape. Note, ask Ashcroft what it means. 6:15 to 7:30 p.m., dinner with Attorney General. Get Ashcroft to have the phrase presidential daughters blocked on all Internet search engines. 9 p.m., watch 24. Note, call Fox. Might be available after November for cameo as ex-president. 10 p.m., lights out. Toss and turn thinking about revelations. Can't get Patrick Stewart's voice out of your head. That's the presidential agenda. Yes. Mm. What is that about? He says, show respect for the Bush daughters. Like, I guess it's a common thing that presidents say, leave the kids out of this. But aren't the kids fair game once they start campaigning for the...
Absolutely.
I mean, God, the Drudge Report jumped right on that picture of Kerry's daughter, the bralette picture.
Oh, she had a diaphanous dress at Danik Khan, and you could see her nipples.
Yes, that was it.
That was it. I'm glad you said it.
But she said it so nicely.
Body part.
It's okay. We got it.
Don't worry about it.
We're good. Yes, you could see her boobies.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing what you can say in a British accent.
Yes. But
and not get away with.
I think it's fair game, though. I think that maybe we should initiate a segment called Disrespecting the Bush Twins.
Well, maybe. How about just following them?
It'd be very interesting. I mean, do you think there's any kind of struggle among them? Do you think one of them will come out and say, you know what, I've had enough of Dad and his policies. I'm actually not campaigning.
Oh, no.
That would be great.
Well, I'm hearing something in my headphones. Does that come? Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think that they are fair game. It's a bit like the royal family, isn't it? When, they send the princes off around the world and tell the tabloid press to leave them alone. That's okay. But once you start sticking people out, in the public eye to elect your dad, it's not like going on vacation and thinking you have, intrusive cameras. Absolutely, they're up for grabs.
I wish it was more like England. I wish that our tabloids would attack the presidents like they do the royal family. I really wish they would. You guys must be tired of it.
It's when people are, corrupt or hypocritical, but when it is just completely intrusive of someone's private life, when you're trying to kind of, hide away on some nice Caribbean island, with your loved one, and it's just about, you know, busting you because you're wearing a thong. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, amusing, but, you know, completely ridiculous. I think the invasion of privacy is really excessive there. I mean, the tabloids in Britain are just, they're just too much.
But they just do it with movie stars here. I guess, like, I guess the politicians and certainly the higher level officials are very well insulated. They, you know, paparazzis don't want to get shot. You know what I mean? They don't want to be surrounded by Secret Service guys and, you
know,
taken out.
Maybe that's the thing here.
Yeah, but remember,
the actual right to bear arms tames the tabloid press.
A bit.
Yeah, remember the Wong Kett now.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked to her yesterday about some political shenanigans. And, you know, there have been these, you know, kind of high water marks over time. There's Monica Lewinsky. Before that, there was, who was the guy, for the congressman from Arkansas? Wilbur Mills. The late Wilbur Mills.
Oh, with the stripper. What was her name?
Fannie Fox.
Fannie Fox and
the
Wilbur Mills.
The Tidal Basin bombshell.
Wow, that was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
I remember it, and I must have been like two.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was one of those things that everybody kind of got caught up. Because there's this feeling that that's what people in D.C. do. It doesn't matter what party they belong to. It doesn't matter, almost doesn't matter, how sanctimonious they sound on the floor of the House or the Senate. There's this perception that these guys are into that sort of wild style behavior on a regular basis anyway.
Right. Well, I think they should be free. I think they should be fair game.
Well, you know what? Maybe this is to rein them in more. I mean, since they've both been, you know, since they were both busted for, was it one, did you mention this already?
No, nope.
Yeah.
Like the one lost a driver's license. The whole drinking alcohol.
She had a fake ID, and they're kind
of
boozers.
You know what, maybe he's just kind of alarmed that, you know, what might come out of the closet if the press go after them.
Maybe this is just a smokescreen. Maybe he's throwing them out there so people do start, you know, making fun of them and letting them take some hits. So, you know, we don't pay attention to the fact that he's failing as a president.
What, the twins as chum?
Kind of.
Great.
I think so. Oh, he's doing that with a lot of stuff.
If I put the girls out, maybe if I put Laura out, people will ignore me.
Yeah, I'm sure that's got something to do with it.
And my pockmarked face from falling off a bicycle.
He had some good makeup, dude.
Only a complete spaz falls off a bicycle. I'm sorry.
He was mountain biking. Hey, are you kidding? He was a rough and tumble president.
He was on a pavement someplace. He was on a pavement as smooth as Park Avenue outside the studio.
What did that guy say?
I was just thinking that he's putting them out there for a reason. It could be about trying to get the younger vote out there. I mean, they're kind of good-looking girls, aren't they?
He's willing to put America's young people into harm's way for a war that is unbased, you know, unfounded in anything real. Why wouldn't he be willing to put his own daughters out for a little ridicule in order to take the attention off of his retarded policies?
You know, it would be interesting to see one of the Bush twins decide to do some volunteer work or something. Not the private sector work, but, I mean, actually go into the military. I mean, our previous guest, Angelina Spencer, had a woman that worked for her that's over in Iraq driving a truck.
I didn't get the feeling that she was stripping on the truck.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is, if the Bush twins could stay, one of them could stay sober long enough, why couldn't they go to Iraq?
Well, that's a conditional thing. You said if one of them could stay sober long enough.
Yeah.
But we don't know that.
I don't want to disrespect them.
I think it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough to be the daughters of George Bush. Let's face it.
It's tough being the daughter of a homeless person. That's tough. Being the daughter of George W. Bush may have its problems, but believe me, don't confuse them with the real world.
Right.
When we come back, we're not done. Are we? No, we're not. Still to come, the morning devotion of the liberal agenda and you on the phones. This is Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More fighting has been reported in Iraq between American forces and the militiamen loyal to Muslim cleric Murtada al-Sadr. A sacred shrine was destroyed in the attack. Iraqis are blaming the Americans for its destruction. In Baghdad, more explosions have been witnessed in parts of the capital just moments ago. It looks like President Bush will have to take a page from the Reverend Jesse Jackson in keeping hope alive if he wants to see a second term. Most Americans in two recent polls say they have not approved of his running of the country, this with respect to the economy and the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Bush delivered his five-point plan for stabilizing Iraq last night. He promised to turn the infamous Abu Ghraib prison into rubble and build a brand-new facility meeting state-of-the-art requirements. And more than 150 gang members in Newark, New Jersey, have signed a ceasefire agreement. Those who signed the pact vowed to find nonviolent means to settle conflicts. Newark has had a history of rival gang violence resulting in death. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Air America's Unfiltered.
Here's what I can't believe. Wycliffe has a, inside of his Hummer, fish tank for them to accommodate sharks. And our military cannot get protective gear.
Biz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow.
We're actually asking for police departments to send their extra vests. You know, it's insanity.
Unfiltered on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Tuesday. Yeah. I love this song. I got to listen to this record. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. I'm Air America Radio. The Day After Tomorrow opens in theaters on Friday. It's an action-adventure movie about global warming. It's got Manhattan freezing over, twisters tearing up Hollywood, and people are upset about it. People are excited about it. I saw it last night. I've got some serious questions for our guest, Mark Gordon, who is the executive producer of the film. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. How you doing?
Good.
Well, look, I saw the movie last night, and it seems like it was sort of like the secular liberal Passion of Christ. That, you know, you are showing the death of the planet.
I'm afraid so.
And what was the intention? I saw it, and I got to be honest with you. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. The special effects were good, but I don't know about the environmental message necessarily being as strong as I would have thought it would have been.
What kind of message were you looking for?
I don't know. It just seemed to me that once, you know, it was it was initiated at the beginning of the film very quickly that, you know, this might happen over a period of 100 years, 200 years, and then, bam, it's happening. And after that, the issue isn't really talked about except for, you know, with the vice president. And then it's just all these amazing special effects and strange small stories about little human events on the backdrop of billions of people dying.
Well, let me tell you this. First and foremost, we made this movie for entertainment.
Right.
this is not a documentary. Rowan, the
director, that was the
myself,
problem. I was looking at it wrong.
Maybe so. But you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not an educator. I make movies to entertain people.
Right.
I think the best way to share something with people, I think the best way to provoke thought is not by hitting them over the head with it.
the end of the world.
Yeah, but this is entertainment.
Okay, you're right.
Was the Poseidon Adventure a movie about something? Was Earthquake? Was Volcano? It's the end of the world. It's entertainment. So the fact is, if you want to go and learn about global warming, if you go read a science magazine,
right.
Go see a documentary.
Okay.
If you want to go to the movies and be entertained, then this is the movie to go see this summer.
So you're basically saying that it wasn't intended to be some sort of educational process to scare the hell out of everybody, so they wake up, because there would have been more science in it, I would imagine.
You know what? Here's the thing. When you can make a movie that's spectacular, that's engaging emotionally, and in a subtle way shares with the audience the fact that we have a problem, I think that's great. But the fact is that you don't make a movie at this cost for summer entertainment as, quote, educational. What you hope is that people will go see the movie and walk out of it and think, gee, we have a problem. Maybe we need to do a little bit better with the way we're dealing with the environment.
Well, in the arc of the film, though, I mean, the problem seems to be, do we have, heavy enough jackets? Ultimately, are we going to be warm enough?
Well, it's always a problem when you're cold. You better buckle up. Or bundle up, I should say.
Yeah, and, I realized, did you produce the other one that he did,
Independence Day?
No, I did not.
Oh, because, the ugly Quaid brothers saved the world in that one.
Ah, you see, well, we just tried it. Rowan wants to work with all the Quaid brothers as much as he can, but.
But I guess he kind of buffered the fact that, I won't give away the movie completely, but, at the end, Well, I don't even know what to say, but the good-looking Quaid brother, lives, and there's a little bit of hope at the end of the movie.
Well, I think there's hope. The fact of the matter is that one of the things that he says is it all depends on whether we can learn from our mistakes. So there is hope in the human story, the story that we follow for the characters. Obviously, it's a terrible catastrophe, and many, 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 many millions of people die. But I think the movie does leave you with hope for the future. If we can change the way we behave, then maybe things will be different.
Let me ask you another question. You packed this movie with subplots, mostly human subplots, and I felt that there was a moment there where it seemed like you might be heading towards how do we get a nuclear weapon into this scenario? Was there any of that?
No. The fact of the matter is that when we sold the script, a couple of studio executives said, well, how come they can't stop it?
Yeah.
And what we said was, well, the only way to stop it is to change our behavior. So there's no laser beam being shot out to destroy the asteroid. There was never any question of that. And a couple of people had mentioned, maybe there's something that someone could do to save the day. The only people that can save the planet is us.
Yeah,
so.
but you didn't pull back on creating sort of fully loaded emotional stories between these individuals in terms of sort of creating a Hollywood film.
Listen, I think that people will maybe on opening weekend go to see a movie like this because of the visual effects, because of the spectacle. But the fact is that the movie doesn't work if the characters don't work, if the emotion doesn't work. That's what any movie, any good movie, is all about. So as spectacular as the effects are, it's the backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are what people go see movies for.
Mark Gordon, let's get down to business here. How much is your nut? How much you got to make in order for this movie to be successful?
I don't even have an exact figure, but it's a lot. I mean, it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mark Gordon, as the executive producer...
I'm the producer, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry, producer.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, I know how important credits are in Hollywood. I get it right. Producer of the movie The Day After Tomorrow, of the apocalyptic vision. What do you think it is that seeing a film like this does for audiences at a time where the news itself in Iraq is just so horrific and nightmarish? What do you think audiences get out of seeing an apocalyptic movie?
Well, I think that what they'll get out of seeing this movie is great entertainment, great thrills. And I think that audiences like to imagine themselves in these kinds of circumstances when they go to a movie like this. So they either look at a character and say, would I behave like this? Would I deal with the situation like this? Or imagine themselves, how they might deal with the situation in similar circumstances.
I got to be honest with you, Mark. When I saw the Twisters ripping up Los Angeles and I saw that Hollywood sign peel away like it was nothing, I did feel a certain amount of excitement. I can't necessarily say that the entire movie, was my cup of tea, to put it lightly, but I did get some ironic humor in some of the destruction, oddly enough, and I think you intended that, yes?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you found some enjoyment in the picture.
Thank you very much, Mark Gordon, for being with us, the producer of The Day After Tomorrow, which opens the day after tomorrow. It opens on Friday. We're going to be taking your calls, yes? We are going to be taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Be honest with us. You ever been sucked in by movie hype? Have you? Call us up on Air America Radio.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Can one little pill help prevent breast cancer? Eyewitness News has big news for women. Plus at 5, what's bugging you? Eyewitness News takes on those annoying shrink-wrapped packages. Plus at 6, homeless at 10 years old. Now she's getting her medical degree. Eyewitness News with the uplifting story of a local woman who overcame a tough childhood. Join Diana Williams, Sade Baron-Watt, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on EBC 7.
An all-new Oprah, Academy Award winner Halle Berry.
There's just no way I can ever trust again.
The toughest year of her life.
It was heartbreaking. I just couldn't understand why. That is the issue that forced me to file for a divorce.
Plus, Benjamin Bratt. Plus, the stars of Catwoman.
Kapow!
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on EBC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the way.
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. We just talked to Mark Gordon, the producer of The Day After Tomorrow, which was a movie that I put myself through last night. I was being relatively diplomatic with the dude. I don't know that the environmental message is really there. I don't know that the science is straight. But if you want to see Los Angeles being ripped apart by tornadoes and New York being buried by a tidal wave, and you didn't get enough of that in The Coming Attraction, you might want to see the movie.
Maron, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You were mellow. with the guy. You really were.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but it's like, it's one of those situations where the guy's on the phone, and what am I going to do? What's wrong with you? How could you dare make an entertaining movie that isn't entertaining? How could you dare let them promote it as an environmentally, you know, decent thing to do?
Well, he bugged me out when he said, when I asked him how much, you know, did he have to make to be successful? A lot.
Oh, what's
it? There's a revealing answer.
But it's just a big Hollywood movie. It's a.
And that was a big Hollywood
guy. It's a sappy movie. And at the end, you know, it's weird. As programmed as I am to dealing with those kind of movies in my mind, I don't see many movies. But there was part of me that was saying, you know, are they going to fix this? It's, you know, because there was a space. I'm not. I should just go ahead and give away the movie. Why not?
No, people hate that. Poor Chris, I'll board over it.
It doesn't seem like any of the callers really want to talk about, you know, whether they've been suckered in by movie hype because, people don't want to admit that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? That's like a liability if you're sort of an intellectual liberal sort, you know, like, oh, I would never go see that.
But yeah, the science on global warming in this movie is probably likely to be as important a part of the plot and as accurate as history was in Troy, where people want to go and see Brad Pitt and his biceps. This movie, they went to see, because as you said, the trailer looked really cool.
Yeah, there's not a lot of information in it, and it's not that empathetic. You know, you'd think in a movie like that it would be empathetic to, you know, most of the world's population dying, but
now look, there's only one,
would be too heavy.
There's only one environmental movie worth going to see.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Swim.
Back from the early 70s. Oh, now, yeah. And it had the worst opening theme I have ever heard. This girl singing Save the Earth. It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
But the movie was, like, tremendous to watch if you're...
How about The Blob?
The Blob was cool, too.
Yeah. I like The Blob.
How about we do our morning devotional?
Let's do it.
Dear Lord, we'd like to offer a prayer for the countries of France and Belgium today. These countries want no reference to Christianity or God in the EU Charter. EU Charter. While I enjoy their godless but delicious fries and waffles, I must take exception to their inflexibility. How about a compromise, oh Lord? The French revere Jerry Lewis. He does a lot of good work for his fellow man. Couldn't we make him some kind of stand-in, stand-up deity for those people? The Nutty Savior? All right, you pick the name. All right, that's up to you. Imagine Jerry at the Last Supper doing a spit take. I'm sure you would agree that would have lightened up the whole evening. Yes, Lord. The Belgians are just misguided. I wish I could find it in my heart to forgive the French, but they're so hard to like as it is just being French. As it is just being French. We pray that they see the light, that they hear your voice, Lord. We pray that you bring them back into your fold. We pray that you perform a miracle like changing water into syrup, for instance, for this delicious waffle I'm eating right now. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to the callers. Lee in Manhattan, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, you were saying about how a lot of liberal intellectuals seem... you know, they're ashamed to admit that they might be suckered in by movie hype.
Yes.
Right? Well, as someone who considers himself a liberal and as an intellectual, for better or worse, I don't think there's anything shameful in being sucked in, but you really kind of have to be honest with yourself that you're going for the sheer visceral thrill of something like that.
Right.
And
right.
Not really to get into anything more out of it. I mean, I don't think it's really anyone's fault but our own if we go to something like that expecting some kind of grand message and, you know, all we get is seeing Los Angeles destroyed, which is pleasing itself, but
yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, you know, when they were pushing The Passion as some sort of, you know, religious movie. You go to that movie and there was no real reference to Christ's teachings whatsoever. I think you're right that if you're, and a lot of people do that. A lot of people go to movies with a sort of, you know, with the camp mode that they're going to laugh at the ridiculous of the film. And this film is definitely fodder for that. Can we hear Linda, New Jersey? Hello, Linda.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
I just wanted to make a comment regarding respect for the Bush twins, who I look on as two very strong women.
Okay.
And how I was reminded, as you were talking, about Rush Limbaugh's treatment of Chelsea Clinton many years ago when Clinton was first elected.
Yes.
I still cannot get over the shock and disgust of my memory of Rush Limbaugh holding up a picture of a Cocker Spaniel at a time when Chelsea was about 12, I think, and smugly snickering, the White House today released a new photo of Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, my God. Well, at least the Bush twins are kind of attractive, so that won't be happening to them. Yeah, but why do you think they're respectful necessarily? Just because they're the president's children? Or why would you say respectful women?
I think she's strong.
Strong women.
Oh, why are they strong?
They're two strong women. I figured they can take care of themselves. They don't. They're out on their own, and if Bush wants respect for them, he should tell them to behave. If Chelsea Clinton ever stepped out of line, she would have been pounced on.
Oh, interesting.
She had two strong parents who told her to behave. She's been a marvelous, I think, model of a presidential daughter.
Well, maybe we'll have
do the same.
We'll have the Bush twins call Chelsea and see how she pulled it off. Thanks for your call, Linda. I appreciate it.
She makes an interesting point.
Yeah, I understand. You know, she's saying it's up to the parents to keep the kids in line.
There were some stories that I thought we had come in contact with recently that said that one of the parents, I don't know if it was the president or the first lady, was the disciplinarian, and the other one was always letting him slide.
Right.
And I can't remember which one was which. I think it was Laura was the hard head, and the president was the one that kept letting him slide.
You got to figure out how much time is there really that they have. Jake in Oklahoma. Jake, I wanted to talk to you. You're going to hit the topic. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was listening to you guys talk about the Hollywood movies, and when I was living out there, I went with a friend to go see Independence Day, the other movie that those guys did.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to go see it, and he said, look, it's like a Kiss concert.
Right.
The music's going to suck, but there's going to be a lot of cool explosions, so just go and enjoy it.
Right. I think that's fine to do that if you're self-aware like that. And I hope it's that satisfying. You know what I mean? I mean, that's my problem. It's like, how satisfying are these things, even if you go with that kind of like, hey, I know it's a waste of money, but why not give it to somebody who's just going to waste it again? We'll be back with many things, the liberal agenda. We'll be back with our closing arguments, whatever that means, and with Mark and Sue and me. So come back on Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Are you a shift worker or work nights? Do you have complaints of excessive sleepiness on the job, including your commute to and from work? If so, you may have evidence of chronic shift work sleep disorder, a medical condition with excessive sleepiness associated with working nights. Clinilabs Incorporated is conducting a research trial of an investigational medication for excessive sleepiness associated with chronic shift work sleep disorder. If you have complaints of excessive sleepiness and are working a late or overnight shift and are 18 to 65 years of age, you may qualify to participate. Daytime and overnight visits are required, and compensation for time and travel will be provided. Qualified participants will receive trial-related medication and care at no cost. Call Clinilabs Incorporated now at 212-994-4578 to see if you qualify. That's Clinilabs Incorporated at 212-994-4578. 212-994-4578.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Good morning. It's morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron, coming in for landing with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Got a couple of emails. Someone just wrote me and said, stop with the turnover already. It's handover. A turnover can be, among other things, a folded pastry with applesauce or raspberry jam in the center. Sorry. You'll know that if you get to know me, that not, I try to say what I mean, but a lot of times the words aren't completely right. I will work on that. And I think you're right.
Okay, George.
Yeah, the turnover, she's referring to, or he is referring to Iraq, and Mike speaking of the handover of power.
Say, you didn't say popover.
Yeah.
Or Pop-Tart.
That's a rapid turnover. Yeah.
Which was transmission in, when you mean transition.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't say that. But you know, sometimes I have to be a little more aware of it because, I get excited and I just start talking, and all I want to do is get my message across, and it's not always spoken correctly. Here's another one. This is a great email. I did it. On Friday, one of the items on the liberal agenda was so funny that I just about drove the car off the road laughing, and then I decided I had to do it. After work, I stopped at the grocery store in Fernley. I wish I knew where that was. I will in a minute. And soon my opportunity came. The young teen bagger asked me, paper or plastic? It doesn't matter, I replied. Bush is going to kill us all anyway. Which was one? Which
did
was a
bring,
liberal?
Did they bring security?
No, it was a liberal agenda item we had a couple of days ago. The look on her face was priceless. At first confused, and then the little smirk. I got an even better reaction from the customer in front of me. It was just about leaving the checkout aisle. She laughed and grinned broadly. And this is in a little conservative town in northern Nevada. Keep it up, gang.
Maybe they could start saying that everywhere. It would be very funny. Take out a video camera and record, like a candid camera thing, record all the expressions of people when someone says that to them.
I just thought it was great that someone actually, took it and, went with
ran
it. She used the marching order. Another email quickly asked me why I was referring to strippers as girls and not women. And then she called me a boy. Well, listen, girl, it wasn't an intentional political agenda there. I was just, I don't see girls as being negative. Perhaps you do. And
they call themselves girls.
Yeah.
Women who strip for a living, they're the girls.
At least I didn't say skirts or hoe or broads or dames.
There you go. Maren, you feeling lucky today?
I'm not lucky or unlucky, kind of in the middle.
David Larry Nelson was lucky. He was 3 hours away from being lethally injected in Texas when the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, ruled that he can pursue a last-ditch appeal that lethal injection is unconstitutionally cruel because he's a junkie and apparently his veins have all collapsed.
Oh,
dude, you got to figure, for the last injection, for the big high, why not make it really right? You know what I mean? This guy is going to be laid out for the long haul. Why not make it as comfortable as possible?
Well, he wants to live.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
I thought he just wanted to be comfortable entering the final nod. There's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. Make note. 1, make it easier for gay couples to adopt children, anyone's children. 2, change the name of Charlie the Tuna to Charlie the Dolphin Free Tuna. Now, damn it. 3, have all cavity searches declared unconstitutional unless they're between 2 consenting popular entertainers. 4, work with animal rights groups to unionize all lab animals. Okay? Okay? Rabbits, rats, monkeys, all of them. All right? They've got rights, too. Insist that Bush's plan for Iraq include proposal to recycle spent shell casings. I think they're already doing that.
I think so.
Them's your orders. Do what you will. Have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we'll talk to a U.S. soldier who came forward to say he had killed innocent Iraqis. He'll tell us how it happened. Plus, Eric Bogosian joins us to talk about our favorite subject, us, but also you. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
If you mess up one more thing, you're fired. That's what my boss just told me. Guess I can't blame him, though. I've been forgetting more and more things all the time. Small things and sometimes big things. Yesterday, I forgot a meeting. Today, I forgot our biggest client. I might as well forget my paycheck.
If your poor memory is putting your job at risk, you need to call now for a free CD on the most remarkable memory improvement program available. The Memory Optimizer shows you how easy it is to dramatically improve your memory now and protect it for the future without drugs or dietary supplements. You'll be amazed at how much more easily you remember names, dates, facts,
figures, whatever you need to remember. Before you do another thing, call 1-800-900-8182 for your free Memory Optimizer CD. You'll discover how easy it is for you to improve and protect your memory in all areas of your life. Call now, 1-800-900-8182. That's 1-800-900-8182.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio.